had a blood clot. Doctors say his condition is improving. In Ethiopia, near the Somali border, gunmen killed 65 Ethiopians and 9 Chinese workers at a Chinese-run oil field. A group of Somali rebels claimed responsibility for the deadly attack. In Moscow, hundreds of mourners paid their respects to former Russian President Boris Yeltsin, who died of heart failure yesterday at the age of 76. He will be buried tomorrow. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. This is the Quality News Network. President Bush once again insisted he would veto the latest Iraq war spending bill in Congress if it contains a timetable for troop withdrawal as the Democrats agreed on. The president said it would, quote, embolden our enemies. The proposed bill would set October 1st as the date to begin the U.S. troop pullout with the goal of completing the withdrawal in 6 months. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid's response to the president was that he's in a state of denial. He also added that the war cannot be won militarily. In the Diyala province northeast of Baghdad, an al-Qaeda-linked group claimed responsibility for the double suicide truck bombings that killed 9 U.S. paratroopers Monday. 20 were wounded. It was the worst attack on U.S. ground forces in Iraq in more than a year. On Capitol Hill today, the brother of Army Ranger Pat Tillman, who was killed by friendly fire in Afghanistan, testified before a congressional committee. He accused the government of deliberately misrepresenting his brother's death. Former Army Private Jessica Lynch, who was rescued after her convoy was ambushed in Iraq, also testified. She said, quote, "The American people are capable of determining their own ideas of heroes, and they don't need to be told elaborate tales." In Newcastle, Indiana today, a full-scale riot which broke out at the men's prison, a medium security facility, has now been contained. There were at least 2 fires burning in the courtyard and 2 staff members were reported hurt. Vice President Dick Cheney had a medical examination today on his left leg where he recently had a blood clot. Doctors say his condition is improving. In Ethiopia, near the Somali border, gunmen killed 65 Ethiopians and 9 Chinese workers at a Chinese-run oil field. A group of Somali rebels claimed responsibility for the deadly attack. In Moscow, hundreds of mourners paid their respects to former Russian President Boris Yeltsin, who died of heart failure yesterday at the age of 76. He will be buried tomorrow. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author David Halberstam died yesterday in a car crash in the San Francisco Bay Area. He was 73 years old. Halberstam wrote 21 books on topics that included sports, the military, and civil rights. Economist and banker Paul Erdman died Monday at his Northern California ranch. He was 74 years old. He had been the CEO of a Swiss bank and wrote 12 books. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Business news coming up next.
Terry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday, featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Divnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
Duke University researchers found that overweight workers cost their employers up to twice as much in injury claims than their leaner coworkers. 2 former Apple executives involved in a stock options backdating scandal were charged today by the Securities and Exchange Commission. One of the employees, the former chief financial officer, has reached a settlement and will pay back around $3.5 million of the, quote, ill-gotten gains. The FCC has concluded that it is in the public interest to regulate violence on television, especially during the times when children may be watching. They will recommend that Congress pass legislation to give the government power to regulate violent programming on broadcast and cable television. In March, sales of existing homes in the U.S. fell by 8.4%. That is the largest percentage drop since January of 1989, which marked the start of a strong recession in housing. The Conference Board reports its Consumer Confidence Index fell in April as Americans worried about rising gas prices. For the first time ever, Toyota has sold more vehicles around the world than General Motors. GM held the title as the world's top automaker for 76 years. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.58 a barrel. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was up 35 points, the Nasdaq up 1 point, the S&P 500 down one. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! God, gone for a day, gone for a decade. It's great to be back. I'd fully intended to be with you last night. However, I must admit that we wouldn't have had much of a radio show, what with the persistent and the seemingly endless sounds of a hammer banging on a roof. For temporary purposes, the roof is fixed and impervious to rain. Although we got the happy news that if we don't replace the entire roof by the end of summer, it won't stand a winter's worth of rain, and we'll have snow in the house. It's a 70-year-old house. I mean, what do you want? Stuff breaks down. But that's kind of where... You know, so, oh, well, good. Happy. Just keep on skating, keep on smiling. That's what we were up to last night. And got it all accomplished just as the light faded and the rains came. But we're happy to be here, and we're happy to be dry being here. So there's that. Of course, much weirdness today. Dick Cheney coming. Well, I've got some audio of Dick Cheney for you later in the program. You know, just the kind of stuff that makes you just want to run headlong into a brick wall. Beyond that, I've got some audio for you of Jessica Lynch speaking to the House of Representatives today, among others. Congressman Henry Waxman. I have for you some audio, a story that probably wouldn't seem like much of a story except for the context in which it exists. But frankly, this show is as much therapy for me as it is anything else, and for Agnes to a certain extent, though not nearly as much as for me. And I want to tell you a little bit about what went down over the last couple of days. Now, we live not too far from a two-lane U.S. highway. It's pretty busy. And the intersection off of our road onto that road is pretty dicey because it's at the top of a hill, not much crest to it, can't see a lot coming. So Sunday afternoon, the green people that we are, we had gotten the kids all together, Agnes and me, putting them into the vehicle, going to head over to Fayetteville for Earth Day celebrations. Music being played, a lot of fun being had. A band that I've become familiar with recently that's a lot of fun to listen to called the Wild Rumpus was playing. Gotta love that band name. And so we were getting the kids in the car, and I was standing there just idly watching down toward the intersection when I saw a car turning across the intersection, making a left-hand turn onto our road. And she, this person made the turn right in front of a pair of motorcycles. And two nights running so far, I've dreamed about it. Kind of etched itself into my brains. Because I saw bike one hit, and the rider flew, and the bike flew. Bike two had a few, had maybe another second to react, and got sideways, and was able to take the instead of going headlong into the car, was able to go sideways into it in a skid. So I want to because good people like this deserve to be remembered. You see, I told Agnes, I said, go call 911. And she did. She picked up the phone. She dialed 911. She said, don't screw around. Send Life Flight. And my kids saw all of this. And so Agnes and I and our next-door neighbor, who's also a medical professional, ran down to the road. And we're pretty much among the first there. Some gawkers who were in stop traffic came up to do some rubbernecking. And that poor young man was laying in the middle of the road with his brains coming out on the pavement. And an officious fellow who is a lawyer around here and an assistant prosecutor had jumped out of his car and was running around, walked up to the dude on the pavement and kicked him in the foot. Trying to, you know, see, is he still alive? Agnes turned around and said, don't do that again or I will blah, 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 blah. Agnes can get kind of salty. Because she didn't want... You don't move people in that situation. Anybody who's had any kind of emergency medical treatment knows that. And I know the guy, and I turned around, called him by name, and I said, don't touch him! So we knew for by our own knowledge that 911 had already been called. Now, the ambulance station is perhaps 2 miles from where the wreck occurred. It took an ambulance about 30 minutes to get there. Young man was 20. He's dead. Okay, the young man died. He was 24 years old. His name was Brian Canterbury. His obituary was published in the Charleston paper today. Among other things, he was a second-degree black belt in Kosatumi Seikan, karate instructor. Brought home a gold medal in the 4th Irish Cup in 2001. 2006, he competed in the first international Kosatumi Seikan tournament, where he received gold, silver, and bronze medals. He was an Eagle Scout. And he is gone. Out of a motorcycle wreck. Because I was curious, I looked up motorcycle accident or some such combination of words on Google and just got a list of just boku motorcycle wrecks in this country that happened that Sunday. Clearly the driver of the automobile was at fault. She turned in front of him. You know how it is. 80% of motorcycle wrecks aren't caused by the motorcyclist or more. But there were several things that came to mind out of all of that. And it's not, you know, I've seen a motorcycle wreck. No, it's not just that. It was the 30 minutes that it took for an ambulance to get there. Because both of the ambulances down at the local station were on calls, you see. Because we have a medical system in this country that is so busted down and broken that when, for instance, elderly folks aren't what we say around feeling poorly, and they don't have anybody around them to take them to the doctor, they get a ride in an ambulance. Because we've cut back funding and budgeting so severely that ambulance companies won't maintain any other form except ambulances. You know, a lot of these people that get rides to the hospital in an ambulance don't always need to go that way. They can go sitting up. But we don't have that infrastructure anymore. And then there was the horrifying sight of the young man lying on the asphalt. And I apologize. I'm not trying to bring you down, all right? This is just this is a day in my life. The thing is, though, odds are it's been a day in thousands of other lives across the country. So 30 minutes later, after a cop who is out of his jurisdiction has shown up, and no officer with jurisdiction has still shown up, the young man is still laying on the pavement, and some EMTs who were off duty have just happened to show up. They've rolled him over and tried to get his airway, make sure his airway was open. I'm not going to get graphic. But we're still waiting. Hell, the life flight from Charleston got there almost before the ambulance did. And this young man was 24 years old. And his buddy that he was riding with survived the wreck pretty much okay, I think. And I saw the young man laying there on the pavement in his leather body armor. He's trying to ride responsibly. And I couldn't help... I'm sorry. I apologize. But I couldn't help casting my imagination to wonder how many other times over 3,300 scenes similar to that have been repeated in Iraq. Young men, young women, prime of life, taken for reasons that are not readily apparent or in any wise good. And that officious, intermeddling lawyer running up and down, what's your name, turn him over, I want to touch him, yeah, let's roll him over. Don't touch him. What's your address? Piss off. We'll wait for the officer to show up. Then he gets out his photograph and starts taking groovy pictures of the scene and walks up to the woman who was responsible for the accident and says, I'll have pictures for you if you need them. I guess he couldn't tell that to the young man laying on the pavement. And the young man laying on the pavement was, of course, wearing one of those de minimis helmets. A helmet in name only. The thing that the bikers like to call a brain bucket. Has no neck protection, no facial protection. It meets the minimum standards of a helmet within the law. And every year when the legislature meets, a bunch of bikers will go down to Charleston, and it happens in other states too, where they will say, wearing a helmet is a matter of personal freedom. We don't need no law making us wear no helmet. But you see, this young man's helmet was knocked off when he hit the car, and then the pavement he hit without his helmet. Because it's not designed to stay on. It's designed to meet a legal standard, not to protect your skull. And there was about $15,000 worth of personal freedom down there in the form of first responders when they finally did get there, and wreckers to tow away the car and the two motorcycles, and the helicopter hovering in the air. And so, yeah, I kept hearing that, because I've had the argument made to me, it's a matter of personal freedom. You know, which is just so much libertarian crap. Because the use of the public highways involves the use of the public funds. And emergencies are responded to, again, publicly. So, all of that was pretty horrifying. And I couldn't help but realize that maybe a little bit of the Iraq War in its own way had been made personal to us. Pathetic and sad. And so avoidable. Tell the heavy breather to hang up or hang up on him, Agnes. Is his computer going in the background too? So that's where we are this evening. A broken medical system, a broken emergency response system, broken. And it's just. So unnecessary. So very, very unnecessary. We could fix this country if the Republicans would get out of the way. There could be adequate and appropriate non-critical transportation to medical facilities if the greedy-ass Republicans would get out of the way. We could get out of Iraq and not have that scene of broken young bodies replayed 3,300 times and climbing if the godforsaken Republicans would get out of the way. This is, that was just one traffic fatality in one little corner of West Virginia. It happened hundreds of times over on the same day because it was beautiful. That young man left his home next county down for a beautiful, just a gorgeous Sunday afternoon's ride. God, I'm sorry. I'm just kind of sharing it with you. Because, you know, this is the way folks talk on the front porch, and this is America's digital front porch. That's the beginning of things. Oddly enough, earlier in the day, I had taken... Now, we've got this thing going where I'm trying to get myself back in shape, so I got to walk every day. So I took the kids in the vehicle and drove them down the... Yeah, we'll talk about the national news in a minute. Or the international news. What of it do you not already know? But we went out the road and we marked, okay, here's a mile, here's a half a mile, here's a mile, here's a mile and a half, here's 2 miles, and if we go that far and come back and double it, we've done, because the kids are walking with me. But I drove on out the road and I drove past a little wide place at a little, not even community, used to be a bustling, thriving little community called Ramsey. And I pointed a little wide place out in the road and I explained to them that their great-grandfather Kincaid, as a young man, had been a real up-and-comer in the early 20s to mid-1920s. He had a post office. He was the postmaster. He had a sawmill. He had a general store. And he supplied the whole area. And that store had been there for a while. We've got the ledger and account books going back to the 1890s. And he wasn't, you know, he was prospering. He was doing quite well, and he was well thought of. He was, you know, he was only high school educated, but he read voraciously. And did his best to run his business, and did so successfully. And I explained to my children. I said, "Kids, you got to understand that during this time, Republicans were in charge of the United States of America. This was the 20s. It had gone from Harding to Coolidge to Hoover." And I explained to them that when 1929 and the crash came, that for a time, my grandfather Kincaid's vendors and suppliers continued some, you know, bolts of clothing, shoes, boots, belts, shotgun shells, flour, coffee, that kind of thing, continued to supply him. And that young man, my grandfather, who in 1929 would have been 35 years old, as long as his credit, as long as his vendors and suppliers would continue to extend him credit, he continued to extend credit to an increasingly desperate community. Because the crash hit farmers hardest. Oh, some Wall Street traders took to the windowsills, but that was mostly a myth. But it was farmers who got ruined. The Carnegies and the Mellons and the Morgans and the Rockefellers and the rest of the giants of American industry, you know, they saw a percentage decrease in their overall portfolio value. But out the road, and out the road is anywhere in the rural United States of America, out the road, Republican policies of the 1920s made babies cry for hunger in the night. And my grandfather knew that, and as long as it was possible for him to do so, he tried to stave off babies crying with hunger in the night, or babies dying from hunger in the night, brought about by Republican manipulation, Republican greed, Republican rapacity, Republican perfidy, Republican evil. But eventually, he couldn't extend credit anymore because no more credit would be extended to him. And that promising young man of 35 years old was, at the stroke of a few pens, destroyed. No more post office, no more sawmill, no more general store. No more, "Mr. Kincaid, can you let me pay you 2 weeks from now? I swear, I promise." Payments that never came, and he knew would never come. But he was called upon by his morals and his ethics to continue to extend. And it destroyed him. As the saying goes, he took to drinking. I won't speak ill. It's not speaking ill of my forebears. Yeah. What do you want a man to do when he's been destroyed by his own government that he served, for whom he fought in the First World War, the Great War, the war to end all wars? So I looked at my children and I said, "Kids, I loathe Republicans. I despise Republicans. I detest Republicans. Because every time the Republican Party gets its hands on the reins of our government, they drive us into a ditch. And they don't suffer for it. Your great-grandfather suffers for it, and other people's great-grandfathers suffer for it. And you know what? If things continue like they're going today, let me tell you, kids, 100 years from now, someone will be telling a story about you, and they'll say, 'And the Republicans had the government, and your great-granny suffered for it, and your great-grandfather suffered for it.'" because that's what happens to working people under Republican government. That's what happens to the people who are the engine of this nation, the nobility of this nation, the determination of this nation. They suffer under Republicans so that Republicans themselves can sup with both front feet in the trough. So that was Sunday. That was Sunday. Now, we'll get on to other things, and I've got some stuff lined up, I promise. When we come back, and your phone calls, for heaven's sakes, your phone calls, 877-443-2366, if you want to get in on it, get in on the conversation, toll free. If you've got one of those nationwide calling plans, unlimited long distance, put it on your nickel if you don't care. 304-658-5453. This is America's front porch. America's liberal voice. Over New York City. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. Bus driver in a traffic jam. Staring at the faces in a rearview mirror. Looking at the promise of the promised land.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha!
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Soul. Etta James, you'll find a discussion or digression about that very song a little bit later this week over at Billy Shear's music column at unreportednews.net, guest blogged by our very own IT professional, Peter Godbold. Keep an eye out for it, would you? 24 minutes before the hour, I want to share some inspiring words with you, then we'll go to the phones, okay? You know, we have cried out for a leader. We have cried out. We've said we've got to get these criminal thugs out of the White House. Well, the process began today. Resolution. This has been enrolled, I do believe. Resolution impeaching Richard B. Cheney, Vice President of the United States, for high crimes and misdemeanors. 1. Resolved that Richard B. Cheney, Vice President of the United States, is impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors, and that the following articles of impeachment be exhibited to the United States. Articles of impeachment exhibited by the House of Representatives of the United States of America in the name of itself and of the people of the United States of America against Richard B. Cheney, Vice President of the United States of America, in maintenance and support of its impeachment against him for high crimes and misdemeanors. Article 1. In his conduct while Vice President of the United States, Richard B. Cheney, in violation of his constitutional oath to faithfully execute the office of Vice President of the United States and to the best of his ability preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and in violation of his constitutional duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, has purposely manipulated the intelligence process to deceive the citizens and the Congress of the United States by fabricating a threat of Iraqi weapons of mass destruction to justify the use of the United States armed forces against the nation of Iraq in a manner damaging to our national security interests, to wit. And there's all the particulars. And man, go read it. You can go to Kucinich.house.gov and find the PDF file. Man, oh man, oh man. You'll be a while reading it. The Vice President subverted the national security interests of the United States by setting the stage for the loss of more than 3,300 United States service members, the loss of 650,000 Iraqi citizens since the United States invasion, the loss of approximately $500 billion in war costs, which has increased our federal debt, the loss of Article 2. Purposely manipulated the intelligence process to deceive the citizens and Congress of the United States about an alleged relationship between Iraq and Al-Qaeda in order to justify the use of the United States armed forces against the nation of Iraq in a manner damaging to our national security interests, to wit, and all the damning evidence. Okay. Article 3. Openly threatened aggression against the Republic of Iran absent any real threat to the United States and has done so with the United States' proven capability to carry out such threats, thus undermining the national security of the United States. That's Article 3. the vice president's deception upon the citizens and Congress of the United States that enabled the failed United States invasion of Iraq forcibly altered the rules of diplomacy, such that the vice president's recent belligerent actions towards Iran are destabilizing and counterproductive to the national security of the United States. In all of this, Vice President Richard B. Cheney has acted in a manner contrary to his trust as Vice President and subversive of constitutional government to the prejudice and of the cause of law and justice and the manifest injury of the people of the United States. Wherefore, Richard B. Cheney, by such conduct, warrants impeachment and trial and removal from office. Now, you heard that phrase used there, belligerent. He is belligerent, if nothing else. Because, you see, Harry Reid finally worked up the guts to come out and tell the truth to the American people about what's going on in Iraq. Granted, day late and a dollar short, but better late than never, I suppose, because I said as early as the beginning of this war that the war was lost upon the first shot being fired, the first bomb being dropped. That's when we lost the war, when we started it. But no, Dick Cheney has come out, and he came out of his little secure, undisclosed spider hole today to try to rip Harry Reid a new one.
I thought it was appropriate that I come out today and make a statement that I think needs to be made. I thought his speech yesterday was unfortunate, that his comments were uninformed and misleading. Senator Reid's taken many positions on Iraq. He has threatened that if the president vetoes the current pending...
Hold on a minute. Senator Reid has taken many positions on Iraq. Now, see, again, these thugs, these punks, these killers, these murderers, they don't have anything new to offer. Nothing new at all. So he's going to... Wait, look, I mean, you know, it's coming. It's like a train. You can a little puff of smoke way, way, way off in the distance. You can see it coming. Yeah, because he's going to accuse him of being a flip-flopper.
Implemental legislation that he will send up Senator Russ Feingold's bill to defund Iraq operations altogether. Yet only last November, Senator Reid said there would be no cutoff of funds for the military in Iraq. So in less than 6 months' time, Senator Reid has gone from pledging full funding for the military, then full funding but with conditions, and then a cutoff of funding. Three positions in 5 months on the most important foreign policy question facing the nation and our troops.
Yeah, it's Harry Reid's fault because he doesn't, because in the course of 6 months you can't maybe come to have a road to Damascus moment. You can't realize that everything that you've been told for the last 3 years is utter and unmitigated garbage, and that it's got to end. But no, you thought that was bad. Wait, here, no, he wasn't done.
What's most troubling about Senator Reid's comments yesterday is his defeatism. Indeed, last week, he said the war
defeatism?
Is already lost.
Defeatism? Defeatism? Who said that that's defeatism? Hey, Dick, who's going to sign the Articles of Surrender when you win your little war? Who are you winning your war against, Dick? Who are you fighting, you fool? God, what's most discouraging is his defeatism. I don't know. What he calls defeatism, I call sobriety. Common sense. It's over, Dick. You screwed it up. You and your boy George, you screwed it up again, just like George has done everything else he's ever touched in his miserable, misbegotten life. You screwed it up, Dick. Remember Vietnam when you had better things to do with your time? You know what? Maybe you should have had better things to do than start a war with Iraq. You screwed up, Dick.
And the timetable legislation that he is now pursuing would guarantee defeat. Maybe it's a political calculation. Some Democratic leaders seem to believe that blind opposition to the new strategy in Iraq is good politics.
You're a loser, Dick Cheney. Deal with it. You started a war, you lost the war. You're a loser. Okay? nothing that happens from now on is going to impact whether or not we lose or win this war. It's already lost. You lost it when you started it, Dick, but being a Republican, you're too confounded stupid to know that, you moron, you jackanapes. Now wait, okay, there's one more clip, and we're going to get it out of the way as quickly as possible, but you know what's coming. You know what's coming. Close the windows and doors, because you are going to scream by the time this one's over.
Senator Reid himself has said that the war in Iraq will bring his party more seats in the next election. It is cynical to declare that the war is lost because you believe it gives you political advantage. Leaders should make decisions based on the security interests of our country, not on the interests of their political party.
No, he did not just say that. It's that spiky thing right there, Agnes. Restart right there. Yeah, there we go.
Leaders should make decisions based on the security interests of our country, not on the interests of their political party.
Write that down, Dick Cheney. Fold it five ways and stick it where the sun doesn't shine. Wasn't it your party that said you don't roll out a new product in August? Wasn't it you and your party that hammered away at the American people day in and day out to create the bogus, utterly crapulastic impression that Saddam was going to get in a little rubber seahorse raft and start a rolling with his brand new nuclear bomb and make it go off in Savannah? Wasn't that you and your party, Dick? Why, yes. Yes. Yes, it was. Wait a minute, Agnes. I want to hear that line about how you're not supposed to make political decisions to about national security to advance the the hooey of your party again. Could we do that? Thank you, Agnes. I just love you.
Leaders should make decisions based on the security interests of our country, not on the interests of their political party.
Unless they're you. Unless their decisions are made not on their... you're not guilty. You didn't make it on your political interest. You made it on your portfolio interest, you profit-mongering pig! Dick Cheney. Lord, how I wish there was an eternal and burning hell so I could rest assured that the minute you breathed out and didn't breathe in again, that's where you'd be. $3,300 American young men and women, little more than boys and girls in many cases, for whom the universe ended, because that jerk ginned up a bunch of lies, him and his buddies, in the project for a new American century. A bunch of lies about how dangerous Saddam was. One more time.
Leaders should make decisions based on the security interests of our country, not on the interests of their political party.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that's why we had to have the Iraq War Resolution vote in October of 2002 smack dab in front of the elections, the off-year, off-term elections of 2002, because leadership was making decisions about national security instead of about the advancement of political goals. Dick Cheney, you are an evil... evil, evil man. What more can you say about Dick Cheney than that he's evil? Now, I shared with you a little bit of the documentation of the articles of impeachment. For once in my life, I'm going to give marching orders. because I know for a fact that Nancy Pelosi is probably wetting herself over the prospect of Kucinich. Well, you know, we'll just put it in the Judiciary Committee and let it die. Find out who's on the Judiciary Committee. If so, I don't have time to look it up myself. If somebody will email me the list, I'll tell you who's on the Judiciary Committee, and they are in a majority Democrats. The House Judiciary Committee, email them, contact them, phone them, call your own members of Congress, and demand that Dennis Kucinich's resolution be supported. Demand it. Do you realize how decent a human being Dennis Kucinich is? He had planned to announce this today, Tuesday, the 24th of April. But he heard today that Dick Cheney, that rotten, bilious hunk of festering flesh, had a problem with his leg and was taken to the doctor. And Dennis Kucinich, as decent a human being as lives and breathes anywhere near Capitol Hill, called off his press conference out of deference and respect and decency and regard for the Vice President of the United States. But then Dick hit the microphones and came out to say that he was, the leg's just fine. By the way, Harry Reid's a big old sissy girly man who wants to surrender and eat cheese with the French. And at that point in time, all bets were off. And it's my understanding that Congressman Kucinich had a presser about 5 p.m. Eastern Time to announce the filing of these articles. You want to see them go anywhere? Get behind them. Work. Work, damn it, work. I'll work. Will you work? You see, these people, evil like Dick Cheney and George Bush does not go gently into that good night. They have to be driven from office. Otherwise, they will continue to manifest their many and myriad nefarious natures until January the 20th, 2009, at which point in time, if we're lucky, they'll go along nicely. Of course, by then, they may decide that, we may have another crisis. Because remember, back before November 2004, they were floating trial balloons, the White House was, about good reasons for postponing the November 2004 election. Do you remember that? I remember that. Can we do this? We can do this. If you want an end to the war, do this. If you want an end to evil in the executive branch of the United States government, for the love of God, do this. This is... I can't imagine a more important thing than getting rid of criminals who are in the midst of our government, your government, my government, we, the people of the United States, endeavoring to form a more perfect union, achieve tranquility, and secure for the yada, 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 yada. Can you? Let's go talk to David real quick, calling from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program. Sorry I kept you holding, man. I had a lot to get off my chest.
No problem, Bob. I was just going to say... people don't have to email you anymore about John Loftus. He's off the air.
What happened?
I don't know. He's gone. His last show was Friday. I'm guessing probably Nova M realized, damn, this guy's going to keep talking about Muslims and Arabs, and he keeps finding an angle for, you know, weapons and fear and all of that, and all of the people he was having on were associated with, you know, a lot of right-wing groups, and I just think Nova M decided to pull him.
I'll be darned. I had no idea. I mean, to be honest, I don't have a lot of time to listen to... I listen to Malloy. That's about it.
Right. How much time do I have?
Oh, you got about 6 minutes.
Oh, I got about 6 minutes?
Yeah, sure. Knock yourself out.
Then the time that I'm going to take, I'm going to read what George McGovern today had to say about Cheney.
Do please. I like Senator McGovern.
And this is what he had to say because of what Cheney said about him. Vice President Dick Cheney recently attacked my 1972 presidential platform and contended that today's Democratic Party has reverted to the views I advocated in 1972. In a sense, this is a compliment, both to me and the Democratic Party. Cheney intended no such compliment. Instead, he twisted my views and those of my party beyond recognition. The city where the vice president spoke, Chicago, is sometimes dubbed the Windy City. Cheney converted the chilly wind of Chicago into hot air. Cheney said today that today's Democrats have adopted my platform from the 1972 presidential race, and that in doing so, they will raise taxes. But my platform offered a balanced budget. I proposed nothing new without a carefully defined way of paying for it. By contrast, Cheney and his team have run the national debt to an all-time high. He also said that the McGovern way is to surrender in Iraq and leave the U.S. exposed to new dangers. The truth is that I oppose the Iraq War just as I oppose the Vietnam War, because these two conflicts have weakened the U.S. and diminished our standing in the world and our national security. In the war of my youth, World War II, I volunteered for military service at the age of 19 and flew 35 combat missions, winning the Distinguished Flying Cross as the pilot of a B-24 bomber. By contrast, in the war of his youth, the Vietnam War, Cheney got 5 deferments and has never seen a day of combat, a record matched by President Bush. Cheney charged that today's Democrats don't appreciate the terrorist danger when they move to end U.S. involvement in the Iraq War. The fact is that Bush and Cheney misled the public when they implied that Iraq was involved in the terrorist attacks of 9/11. Iraq had nothing to do with the attacks. That was the work of Osama bin Laden and his al-Qaeda team. Cheney and Bush blew the effort to trap bin Laden in Afghanistan by their sluggish and inept response after the 9/11 attacks. They then foolishly sent U.S. forces into Iraq against the advice and experience of such knowledgeable men as former President George H.W. Bush, his Secretary of State James A. Baker, and his National Security Advisor Brent Scowcroft. But just as the Bush administration mistakenly asserted Iraq's involvement in the 9/11 attacks, it also falsely contended that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. When former Ambassador Joseph Wilson exploded the myth that Iraq attempted to obtain nuclear materials from Niger, Cheney's top aide and other Bush officials leaked to the media that Wilson's wife was a CIA agent. Knowingly revealing the identity of a covert agent is illegal. In attacking my positions in 1972 as representative of that old party of the early 1970s, Cheney seems oblivious to the realities of that time. Does he remember that the Democratic Party, with me in the lead, reformed the presidential nomination process to ensure that women, young people, and minorities would be represented fairly? The so-called McGovern reform rules are still in effect and indeed have been largely copied by the Republicans. The Democrats' 1972 platform was also in the forefront in pushing for affordable health care, full employment with better wages, a stronger environmental and energy effort, supported for education at every level, and a foreign policy with less confrontation and belligerence and more cooperation and conciliation. Cheney also still has his eyes closed to the folly of the Vietnam War, in which 58,000 young Americans and more than 2 million Vietnamese died. Vietnam was no threat to the United States. On one point, I do agree with Cheney. Today's Democrats are taking positions on the Iraq War similar to the views I held toward the Vietnam War. But that is all to the good. The war in Iraq has greatly increased the terrorist danger. There was little or no terrorism, insurgency, or civil war in Iraq before Bush and Cheney took us into war there 5 years ago. Now Iraq has become a breeding ground of terrorism, a bloody insurgency against our troops in a civil war. Beyond the death of more than 3,100 young Americans and an estimated 600,000 Iraqis, we have spent nearly $500 billion on the war, which has dragged on longer than World War II. The Democrats are right. Let's bring our troops home from this hopeless war. There is one more point about 1972 for Cheney's consideration. After winning 11 state primaries in a field of 16 contenders, I won the Democratic presidential nomination. I then lost the general election to President Nixon. Indeed, the entrenched incumbent president, with a campaign budget 10 times the size of mine, the power of the White House behind him, and a highly negative and unethical campaign, defeated me overwhelmingly. But lest Cheney has forgotten, a few months after the election, investigations by the Senate and an impeachment proceeding and the House forced Nixon to become the only president in American history to resign the presidency in disgrace. Who was the real loser of 1972? The vice president spoke with contempt of my 72 campaign, but he might do well to recall that I began the effort with these words. I make one pledge about all others to seek and speak the truth. We made some costly tactical errors after winning the nomination, but I never broke my pledge to speak the truth. This is why I've never felt like a loser since 1972. In contrast, Cheney and Bush have repeatedly lied to the American people. It is in my firm belief that the Cheney-Bush team has committed offenses that are worse than those that drove Nixon, Vice President Spiro Agnew, and Attorney General John Mitchell from office after 1972. Indeed, as their reputation, as their repeated violations of the Constitution and federal statutes, are, as well as their repudiation of international law, come under increased consideration, I expect to see Cheney and Bush forced to resign their offices before 2008 is over. On a more serious note, instead of listening to the foolishness of the neoconservative ideologues, the Cheney-Bush team might better heed the words of a real conservative, Edmund Burke. A conscientious man would be cautious how he dealt with blood.
Wow.
How's that for somebody for 85 compared to somebody in his 60s?
You know what he's trying to do, David?
Yeah.
He's trying to put some starch and some spine into the next generation. He's 85 years old and hanging on to life for dear life, for the love of this country, hoping that he will not pass, seeing this nation descend into misery and hell.
And on the other hand, we
I have so much respect for him.
And on the other hand, we have a president who's rambling about chickens and farmers and thinks he has no idea what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, you know, I'd be better off with McGovern there now.
Well, Bob, that's all I wanted to mention.
All right. Thank you so much, David.
No problem, man. Later.
Later. Bye now. And we will come back from the news. Your calls are welcome. You know that. 877-443-2366 or on your nickel, 304-658-5453. This is America's liberal voice. This is the horn. I'm Bob. Impeach now.
Quality News Network. In Iraq, a group linked to Al-Qaeda is claiming its responsibility for a double suicide truck bomb attack that killed 9 U.S. troops yesterday. The paratroopers were all from the Army's 82nd Airborne Division. This was the worst attack on American ground forces in Iraq in more than a year. On Capitol Hill, the brother of Army Ranger Pat Tillman, who was killed by friendly fire in Afghanistan, testified before a House committee. Kevin Tillman said the Army was guilty of creating deliberate and careful misrepresentations in describing his brother's death. Following that testimony, fellow Ranger Brian O'Neill, who was with Pat Tillman when he was killed, testified he was ordered by the battalion commander to keep the truth about that incident concealed from Tillman's brother. Former Army Private Jessica Lynch, who was rescued in 2003 after her convoy was ambushed in Iraq, also testified about misrepresentations of her situation. Congress and President Bush continue a showdown over funding for the Iraq War. The latest bill from the Democrats is worth $100 billion and includes one stipulation that President Bush has insisted will bring down a veto, a timetable for troop withdrawal. The president has said he was disappointed that the Democratic leadership has chosen this course. The statement set off new sparring as Vice President Dick Cheney blasted Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid for his comments that the war is lost. Cheney said Reid was pursuing a defeatist strategy in Iraq to win votes in the next election. Reid shot back, calling Cheney the president's attack dog, lashing out. In Ethiopia, near the Somali border, gunmen killed 65 Ethiopians and 9 Chinese workers at a Chinese-run oil field. A group of Somali rebels claimed responsibility. The top Iranian envoy and the European Union's foreign policy chief will meet tomorrow for talks in Turkey. Instead of requiring Iran to completely dismantle its uranium enrichment program, officials say the U.S. and other world powers may be willing to allow the country to keep some of the nuclear program intact. And in Moscow, hundreds of mourners paid their respects to former Russian President Boris Yeltsin, who died of heart failure yesterday at the age of 76. His open casket is at a Russian Orthodox cathedral located on the banks of the Moscow River. He'll be buried tomorrow. You're listening to Quality News Network.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
The House Commerce Committee has begun hearings today to address food safety. That following incidents of peanut butter and spinach contaminated with E. coli and the recall of hundreds of brands of dog and cat food. The Central California companies that produced E. coli contaminated spinach have reached financial settlements with the families of three women who died after eating the tainted vegetable. The dollar amount has not been released and dozens more lawsuits are expected. Duke University researchers found that overweight workers cost their employers up to twice as much in injury claims as their leaner co-workers. The study revealed that the heaviest employees had double the number of claims. The FCC has concluded that it is in the public interest to regulate violence on television, especially during the times children may be viewing. That's 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. The Washington Post reports the FCC will urge Congress to pass legislation giving the government power to regulate violent programming on both broadcast and cable television. In March, sales of existing homes in the U.S. fell by 8.4%. That's the largest percentage drop since January 1989. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.65 at the close of Wall Street. The Dow was up 35, the Nasdaq up 1, and the S&P down 1. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Seven minutes past the hour. Kind of babbled my way through that last one, but there's more babbling ahead, trust me. Sorry. Teresa is calling from Canada, our good friend Teresa. Hey, Teresa, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How are you?
I'm getting along. It's a tough couple of days.
I just wanted to babble about the impeachment charges on Dick Cheney.
Please do.
I thought Dennis Kucinich went quite easy on him, like only three high crimes and misdemeanors.
I think...
Shouldn't we be into the double digits by now?
Frankly, you could be into triple digits if you really worked at it.
But at
some point, I think maybe it's over... You know, I don't know, maybe he thought it was overkill.
Yeah, or leaving it open for, you know, further people to...
And you know, I think there's something in it, too, Teresa, of showing people that having a little bit of guts isn't that scary a thing.
I think so. Like, I'm wondering if this is just... Like, I don't hold out any hope that this particular one is going to work.
Well, wait a minute, though, well, Teresa. Let me show you... not show you something. It's radio. What am I talking about? But our good friend Cindy out in Washington sent me the list of the membership of the House Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It is chaired, of course, by John Conyers, Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Other members of that committee include Keith Ellison, who has said impeachment is always on the table. Let's see. There's Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
The Congressman Wexler. Della Hunt and Meehan from Massachusetts, Maxine Water and Sheila Jackson Lee. Maxine Waters from California, Ms. Jackson Lee from Texas. Congressman Nadler from New York, Congressman Scott from Virginia. There is reason to believe that we might be able to get some movement going if the American people will demand it.
Well, that's what I'm hoping, that if maybe this particular one that Kucinich has introduced, if he doesn't get enough support for it, maybe that's why he only put three things down on there to leave room for someone else in case that one doesn't go through. But it's hard to say. I'm only saying that because I watched CNN, the most trusted name in news.
Stop it.
And right away, like they interviewed Kucinich, of course, in their last half hour. And they said, Congressman Murtha says he doesn't think impeachment is a good idea right now. I hadn't heard that anywhere else, so I don't know what they were talking about with that. But
did Dennis have any response to that?
No, actually, he just, I don't know, sir.
Well, you know, I mean,
we've created
this culture around the idea of impeachment that suggests somehow that it, you know, anytime you have an impeachment, you're having a constitutional crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
It's the opposite of a constitutional crisis.
It's the Constitution. Yeah, it's the constitutional correction. It's the Constitution working the way the Constitution is supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
this thing today too, when he went and, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm sure I don't want the guy to have ill health or anything. But
you don't have to want it. He's already got it.
Come out with these. Oh, he was taken into the hospital and that. But it turned out it was just a routine appointment, and the clot's getting better.
Right, but you see, don't you, that this was a preemptive strike.
Oh, of course it was.
Hustling Dick off to the hospital was a way to try to engender sympathy, because right now the man's approval ratings hover right around the approval ratings of Osama bin Laden.
I thought it was Osama that had him beat, but then he rose like Phoenix from the ashes when he went to Capitol Hill and, you know, gave his big screed against Harry Reid.
Yeah, and I'm surprised there's any skin left on Harry Reid left after the flaying. And they have to come out this way because they know that if they don't stay on offense, Teresa, that if they get thrown onto defense even once,
mm-hmm.
that they're done for. If they have to defend, and see, everything that he accused Harry Reid of, he is guilty of. That's the classic Rovian, Lee Atwater, whatever, filthy Republican political strategy. You take everything that you can be accused of, and you project it onto your enemy.
Oh, it's incredible the way they do it. And they'll do it immediately, too. Like, they'll do something bad right away, before anyone gets a chance to react to it.
And what they're trying to decide now is whether they pay any attention to Dennis Kucinich, or whether they just try to ignore it and wait for the so-called professional or mainstream media to declare that he's not cute enough, too short, or not worthy of national attention, or this is a publicity stunt related to his... I can think of at least four different ways that the media will spin this to keep from actually having to do journalism about it.
Well, they've already started on it. I don't know if you know that Suzanne Melvo on CNN.
No, she makes me want to puke.
She's appalling.
Yeah. This is the same woman who last week described George Bush's visit to Blacksburg, Virginia, as it was another one of his bullhorn moments, just like 9/11.
Oh, talking about the carpet. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. Talking about him going to Virginia Tech to console the grieving people there.
It was a bullhorn moment.
Well, then why didn't we see much coverage of it? No, I thought you meant, but apparently he went to some school.
Oh, yeah, and he went and babbled about his rug.
About his rug? I don't know if you've read the book Weave World before.
No, I haven't.
It's a good one. I thought maybe he's read that. Or he did some acid or something.
No idea.
Which clearly isn't, you know, clearly isn't going to do anything other than give them a Medal of Freedom. And now they've got this supposed probe of Karl Rove coming from the Office of Special Investigations or
right.
whatever. But it's the Bush appointee. So again, they're just going to investigate themselves.
Nothing to see here. Move along. These are not the droids you're looking for.
But I don't know. It's mind-boggling.
It is
how long that they've lasted.
Well, but it's based entirely, Teresa, on the complacency of the American people.
Mm-hmm. The young people aren't.
And the complacency of our so-called professional media.
Oh, that's what really burns me up, though, the media. Like, they're supposed to be there to question and inform us. They're not stenographers. Like, they just spew out everything that they're told as if it's truth.
Well, it beats the heck out of working, though. You got to give them that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you could get six figures a year for doing almost nothing except repeating administration caca,
mm-hmm.
I think there's probably a lot of people out there who would be happy to do it and happy to take the money.
Mm-hmm. No, I wouldn't, but there would be people who would.
Sure.
No, not for this administration.
And sleep very well at night because they're part of the consumer culture and they'd be part of the so-called journalistic glitterati and get to go to White House correspondence dinners. Of course, that went down over the weekend. Boy, that Rich Little, he's a funny, funny man for 110.
He's Canadian. We got bored of him long ago and sent him down there.
I didn't know he was still doing impressions. I thought he'd quit with Nixon. You know, he kind of had Nixon down to a T.
I know. Oh, God.
He was the man of a thousand voices.
Well, and then, of course, then the dust up with Rove and Sheryl Crow and whatever, Lori David.
Yeah, well, it goes.
Well, I think it showed something about Rove that he screamed, went, "Don't touch me," when Sheryl Crow.
You know, are you familiar?
What heterosexual man would do that?
Are you familiar with Mad TV?
Yes, I love that show.
You know Stewart?
Yes, Stewart. Yeah, when he does, look what I.
I immediately thought of Stewart when I saw that line about, "Don't touch me," Stewart.
Where he puts his legs up and starts kicking and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Karl Rove is Stewart.
But anyway, it's just mind-boggling. And seeing Cheney up there and talking about Harry Reid. I kind of liked Harry Reid's response, though. I'm not going to call names. Bush is a tag dog. Thereby calling him a name.
Yeah, I'm above calling that low-down snake's belly in a wagon rod SOB, a low-down snake's belly in a wagon rod SOB.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I deeply regret that the man has the morals of a toad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just want to make a quick comment, too, but you were mentioning about what happened on the weekend.
Sure.
That accident, that's been terrible for you.
It was.
There's another thing that I can lay at their feet. Like, if you had universal health care, people wouldn't be calling 911 for, you know, these things that they could just go into. Like, people call it, I imagine, because they don't have health care, right?
Precisely.
So that's why the ambulance didn't get there in time for, you know, maybe the poor guy would have died anyway.
Yeah,
not having helmet laws, I don't understand.
Well, I mean, we've got one in West Virginia, and every time the legislature meets, there's a bunch of bikers down there saying that their personal freedom is being impinged upon because they're asked to wear a helmet when they ride. It astonishes me. I mean, I can't imagine, and frankly, you know, I didn't let my kids get anywhere near the scene. Our kids, Agnes and mine. But my son had made, you know, he's 11 years old, and at 11 years old, you start hearing certain things from little boys. Like,
oh, yeah.
"Daddy, I want a dirt bike."
Oh.
And I got up there, and he looked at me, and he said, "I don't want a motorcycle anymore, Daddy."
Good.
Because I hope the cycling enthusiast can understand. This is not me railing against bikes. This is me railing against the people who don't see bikes.
Yes, exactly. You said the woman pulled out in front of the.
Yeah, she crossed left of center, making a left hand turn, and it's a bad intersection. It's a crest of a hill, but you've got about maybe 100 yards sight line. And there was no skid mark.
And who can do a breathalyzer or anything if it took so long?
Well, this thing was completely bumbled. The woman wasn't subjected to a breathalyzer. They didn't take any blood to find out if she was impaired chemically any other way. And we've got laws in the state about what happens in a wreck causing death. None of it was done.
Not very good.
No, it wasn't. It was a complete nightmare, and frankly, this the lawyer that was running up and down,
kicking the guy's foot.
Yeah, that just.
What was that supposed to do? Wake up!
Yeah, is he moving? Kick. Yeah. What the heck?
God, I took a St. John's ambulance course for 2 weeks 10 years ago, and I was known enough that you don't move someone or anything.
Right. They didn't even see collar him before they put him on the backboard.
What?
They put him on the backboard, and then once the ambulance had gotten there, they said, "Oh, we need a small C collar. This one's too big."
You're not supposed to move them at all. You're supposed to go up and, like, if you have, like, see the person's laying on their back, like, go get on their knees by their head and put, like, their head between your knees and hold their shoulders down so they can't.
None of that.
Even if they.
None of that.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it was a mess. It was just sick and sad and tragic and pointed. It just seemed like it stood there in stark relief, Teresa, for so many things that are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I see your analogy to Iraq too. The fact of Iraqi people see brains on the pavement every day. Little kids have to. Step over it on their way to school if it's the ones that are brave enough to go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's amazing. It's just... It's tough to think that way sometimes, and sometimes I think, Teresa, it would be much easier just to sort of get in line and be part of the consumer culture
mm-hmm.
and wonder what's cheap at Walmart this week.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't operate that.
I don't know who it was who said it, but you can't have total happiness without giving up a little intelligence.
Well, this is a culture that doesn't welcome or even much want people who think about the way things work
mm-hmm.
and the way things work out. This is a culture that cherishes people who wonder when Sanjaya is going to get voted off of American Idol. I do that just because every time I mention American Idol, it needles our buddy Billy Shears because he really likes it. But that's, you know, that's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is to sit down, shut up, plug in, and forget about everything rotten until something rotten happens to you.
Mm-hmm. Until it's too late.
Yeah.
And it's all over.
And then you can at least take solace in the fact that everybody else is worrying about themselves, not worrying about anybody else, and, you know, maybe you haven't caused anybody too much inconvenience.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
And Sanjaya got invited to the White House press correspondent's dinner, too. Did you hear that?
I could have gone all night without knowing that.
He did. And people were going up, and they people were getting his autograph and everything. And
well, enjoy your 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, apparently he was sitting at a table, and the governor of New York now, Elliot Spitzer, is that the governor of New York now?
Yeah.
I don't know why he went up to the table to talk to him. Why he would want to, I don't know. And someone said, "Oh, yeah, Sanjaya is having his meal right now." He said, "Well, I'm the governor of New York. Why did you want to go talk to him anyway?"
Lord. Teresa, thanks so much. Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.
23 and a half minutes after the hour, we hear from our buddy Phil in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. Thanks. Let's see. The impeachment, I wasn't able to get into the chat room. So I don't know if anyone's emailed to you yet the how to get in touch with the different members of the House Judiciary Committee.
I have gotten that email. judiciary.house.gov.
Okay.
/full committee.
Okay. I just emailed you something, and it's a post from the afterdowningstreet.org. Kucinich has introduced articles of impeachment against Vice President Richard Cheney.
Right.
And it gives a whole bunch of shortcuts and everything to get through.
Yeah, how to, afterdowningstreet.org, and there's links to contact your own representative, to contact members of the,
ask your the House Judiciary Committee, and then there's also a link here on how to contact the media, and they do it all for you. All you have to do is, I don't know if you folks, when you get a look at it, if it's worth posting on the web page, the Horn web page, this afterdowningstreet.org piece here has all these quick links on how to. You just click on it, and they'll email the media for you and your different judiciary committee members and such. And it also mentions tomorrow's prominent voices go to Capitol Hill. A whole bunch of folks are going to Capitol Hill tomorrow to demand impeachment of Cheney and Bush. Mayor Rocky Anderson, all sorts of government officials, Daniel Ellsberg, former government officials, journalists, anti-war voices, a whole list of folks, David Swanson being one of the organizers.
I had a brief conversation with Dave earlier today.
Oh, great.
And he was telling me as well that there's a big protest coming up in Miami on Friday or Saturday.
Yes, I'd like to... Bush is supposed to speak down there. Myself and people in the Tampa St. Pete area are going down in buses. Kathy Bracewell of our chapter of Code Pink will be going as well. And we're going to head down to Miami Saturday. And there's impeachment actions going on all over the country. If folks just go to www.a28.org and you can find out what's happening in your area. And that's also on this one link that I sent regarding the afterdowningstreet.org thing with Kucinich's resolution to impeach Cheney. It's all listed on this one posting, all these links to these different things. I hope folks do something on Saturday, even if it's, you know, get an old bed sheet and spray paint impeach on it or whatever. You know, do something, you know. Give an hour doing something. You know, do something for impeachment. And it's not going to happen until the people demand it. That Frederick Douglass quote, power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did. It never will. And I noticed one thing on this post, Bob. At the afterdowningstreet.org, you know, they have comments on the bottom of the post, and one fella sent in something to Pelosi saying, I support Congressman Dennis Kucinich articles of impeachment versus Richard B. Cheney. The Speaker's position to take impeachment off the table is allowing the death and maiming of our military personnel and the Iraqi people. Therefore, I will personally volunteer to walk precincts and man phone banks and mobilize at least 50 other volunteers in your home congressional district in opposition to your reelection in 2008. And that's and then Nancy Pelosi's email address is listed. That's a good idea.
Yeah, take it to her home.
Yeah, you know. Anyway, I did want to mention that in. The thing for Miami is what are they called? They're calling it the unwelcoming party. I was hoping to see if Guy James might be interested in.
Oh, hey, there's a great idea.
Since he's down in South Florida.
Yeah, he's over, near Sanibel.
Yeah, and that's, we're going to go down there, and we've got to remind folks, Bob, that Surge and all this crap, these guys deliberately lied to start a war. They should be brought up on charges.
Yeah, that's the kind of things that you put people in prison cells over. I couldn't agree more, Phil.
And you know, and what we're trying to do is redirect the conversation, you know, as much and as often as possible to that. You know, whenever we're talking about Bush, you know, just in talking to someone in the grocery store or while pumping the $3 gallon gas, you know, saying, you know, hey, you know, these guys lied to start a war. There can be nothing more impeachable than that. Don't you think we need to be working on that? You know, and because the American public watches 4.83 hours of television per day. That translates into 33.81 hours per week of sitting on our ass getting fed what the TV wants to feed us, you know, as far as how to think and what to think. And
yeah.
You know, we really have to counter that by reintroducing other thoughts into people's heads, you know, at every opportunity possible. You're not hearing it on television, you know.
Oh, no. Yeah. None of this. Well, I guess according to Teresa, there was a little bit of coverage of the introduction of these articles on CNN. Unless we press it, however, it won't continue.
Right. And it's overwhelming. We've had this, so many of us who are trying to do something, it's so, you get overwhelmed, you get down, you know, it's like, you know, no matter how hard we try to make a change, it doesn't seem like people are changing, you know, it's not going to change until we make it change, and it's not happening as fast as we want it to, but we have to keep plugging at it, and every little bit does help, though, you know. You do a little graffiti, you know, like impeach,
yeah.
Write it on something, you know.
Hey, Phil.
Anything, yes.
I hope Agent Fred isn't listening.
Oh yeah.
But I have been occasionally guilty of getting a $20 bill busted into ones.
Yes.
And writing "impeach Bush now" on the little margin at the top of the bill.
Beautiful. Beautiful. These are the things. You know, we have to. I save junk mails. I save the prepaid return.
Yeah, the prepaid return envelope. Sure.
Yeah, you know, and I drop in little flyers like, you know, 9/11 truth, man. Somebody, Teresa mentioned Elliot Spitzer. You know, that guy's got some investigating to do that he never did in New York. You know, there's a lot of criminal investigations that, you know. These guys have their hand in so many different things, you know. I don't know. I'm babbling, and someone else should probably. Oh, I know what I wanted to tell you.
Oh, go right ahead.
Lee Iacocca. Thank you, David in Maine, for reading Senator McGovern's piece. Lee Iacocca had a piece a week or two ago, and I think it was on the Horn webpage for a while. He's able to be contacted at the Iacocca Foundation in Boston, Massachusetts. And if you go to iacoccafoundation.org, you can find an email and a telephone number. And he's come out publicly saying to throw these bums out. And I think when people...
Lee Iacocca has?
Yes. I can send you the, I can send that to you too. And I was calling David Swanson of AfterDowningStreet.org to see if they could perhaps get him to participate in this Prominent Voices rally tomorrow in Capitol Hill calling for impeachment, you know, along with Mayor Rocky Anderson and so many of the others that are listed here. I can email to you the
yeah, I'd love to see that, Phil.
Yeah. And my point is when someone like Senator McGovern comes out with a column like that in response to Cheney and everything, and when Lee Iacocca, we've got to grab them. You know, we've got to grab them and not let it drift away, you know, and get people like this that people listen to. You know, the whole World War II generation listens to Iacocca. He's one of theirs, you know. And I'll email it to you. I'll email you the piece.
Okay, good deal. Phil, thanks a lot.
Yes.
I really appreciate all your activist efforts. I genuinely do.
Okay, folks, and maybe we can just keep at it. Keep at it, folks. Thank you.
Take a breath and, take a breath and march on. Yeah, exactly.
And this Saturday, Impeach Bush National Events, and it's www.a28.org, and find out what's happening in your neck of the woods, and if there's not something, make something happen.
Exactly.
Thanks, Bob.
Take care, Phil.
You too.
Bye now. Sorry. A quick break, and then we come back. I'll tell you in advance, I got some stuff to share with you. If there's little kids in the room, run them out. I don't want to be accused of corrupting the youth like Socrates or anything. This is some icky stuff I've got to share with you. Be forewarned, okay? Okay. This is America's liberal voice.
Impeach Cheney first.
Yep.
Knock him off his perch.
I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
He's the orchestrator, the real Darth Vader. He's the one with a purse. Get the wizard behind the curtain. Variety shotgun for Halliburton. Bust the bushes, but impeach Cheney first.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
The following is a Head On Radio Network special announcement. I'm back. That's right. The rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time. Foxed Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up time here on the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. George Bush and the Republican Party have never liked Social Security and Medicare. They don't believe in the public sector, and they want everyone to have to throw themselves on the not-so-tender mercies of the marketplace, even in old age, even when disabled or infirm. So they keep prattling on about how Social Security and Medicare are going bankrupt. Problem is, they're not. The latest estimate by the trustees of Social Security shows that the system will be able to pay everyone 100% of benefits all the way to the year 2041. And after that, the system would be able to pay nearly 100% of benefits with a tinker here or there. On Medicare, the system has squirreled away enough money to make sure everyone's covered through 2019. And yes, after that, we might need to increase funding for it. But isn't that what we should be doing anyway, instead of spending $100 billion a year on the Iraq War? There's always $500 billion or $2 trillion for a needless, reckless war. And Republicans are all for that. But to provide for the elderly and the disabled and the ailing, there's no money for that. Or so they'd want us to believe. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
We'll be right back.
I warned you. If the youngins are still in the room, it's your fault and not mine. Okay. Now, you know that last week, and I'm not going to go into the whole Blacksburg thing enough already. But you know that last week, Flush Flimball, the oxymoron, said that Cho Sung-hui was a liberal. Yeah, he did. Okay. Well, he came out afterwards. This would be yesterday. And he claimed that he had punked Media Matters for America. He said that it was done, and you see, this is where they run all the time. That's why if you watch Keith Olbermann, you'll find that every time Flush, that abuser of street drugs, that junkie, you'll find every time that he mentions Flush, he'll refer to him as entertainer Rush Limbaugh, because every time Rush gets caught in something, he says it was something, I'm only an entertainer, I'm certainly not a political commentator, blah, 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 blah. Well, in this particular instance, he got caught in his filth and his sleaze and his slime, saying that Cho Sung-hui, instead of being a madman, was a liberal. You know, because all us liberals, weaving daisy chains and sitting around singing Kumbaya, that we're just seething cauldrons of rage. Rage, I tell you, rage! So, let's kind of work backwards here. Let's go to April 23rd, Flush Flimball on his filthy little program.
They're going to be outraged that I would possibly say this. And I said, yeah, you got a guy that hates the rich. You got a guy that thinks American culture is debauched. Who is it telling us all this, and who is it that doing all this? Is it the liberals? And sure enough, Media Matters fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. They had it up all over the place. But yet, Friday, at the National Action Network conference, Senator Joe Biden, Democratic Party presidential candidate, blamed Republicans for the VTEC shootings and a string of events that have made news in the past few years. Biden said Bush, Gingrich, and Karl Rove are responsible for what he called the politics of polarization. I would argue, said Biden, since 94 with the Gingrich revolution. Just take a look at Iraq, Venezuela, Katrina. What's gone down at Virginia Tech? Darfur? I must take a look. This didn't happen. All these things are the fault of Bush, Gingrich, and Karl Rove. I was depressed when I read this. He left my name out of it. Usually I get blamed for this stuff. But nobody said a word. There's no website out there chronicling Biden blaming. He was serious. He was serious. I was making a joke about the... I was just setting everybody up to show how this stuff works. Although I do believe that it was liberalism that got a hold of this guy and made him hate things. Professors and this sort of thing. But... Hell's bells. Have you heard anybody complaining about Biden and blaming for Katrina?
So, see, at the end there, he said it was real. He really does believe that, you know, us, you, me, progressive liberals, forward-thinking people who look to the future and don't cling to a terrified past, Cho Sung-hui was one of us. Right? Now, as for what Joe Biden said, dig it. Who was in the White House when Katrina hit? Who was in control of the Congress, both the House and the Senate, when Katrina hit? Huh? I'm sorry, but at some point in time, this isn't some squishy, ethereal, epistemological debate about liberalism versus conservatism. If you are at the helm of the ship and you drive it into the iceberg, you, by God, are responsible for the sinking. There's a little lesson. It goes like this. Six words. All liability is based on fault. If the federal government did not respond appropriately to Katrina, then it is the responsibility, the fault, if you will, of the people who were in charge of the government. That would be the Republican Party. So now we're time traveling backwards, all right? Backwards to the 19th of April. And Rush Limbaugh.
If this Virginia Tech shooter had an ideology, what do you think it was? This guy had to be a liberal. You start railing against the rich. This guy's a liberal. He was turned into a liberal somewhere along the line. So it's a liberal that committed this act. Now, the drive-bys will read on a website that I'm attacking liberalism by comparing this guy to them. That's exactly what they do every day, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just pointing out a fact.
A fact. Note the use of the word fact.
I'm just pointing it out. They try to... Whenever, I can tell you for the history of this program, starting way back in the early 90s, when there was any kind of an incident, crime or what have you, that attracted national
any
attention.
Any kind of crime.
In the early days of this program, the drive-by media went out, and they tried to connect the perpetrator to this program. They did everything they could. In fact, it went so far as Bill Clinton blaming me for influencing Timothy McVeigh to blow up the Bureau building. These are the people sponsoring lies and distortion for the purposes of dividing this country and creating hatred. These are the people that invented this kind of tactic, if you will.
Now, what did I say a few minutes ago? They take everything that they're guilty of, these filthy, godless Republicans. They take everything that they are responsible for, everything they do, every dirty trick, every dirty tactic, every underhanded thing they do, and they project it upon their enemies. And yeah, they do. They think of a Democrat, a liberal, a progressive as an enemy to be eliminated. Now, the Flush there, you know, you wonder if he's back on the junk. What he was referring to is that in Minneapolis, on April 24th, 1995, Bill Clinton criticized, quote, loud and angry voices in America today whose sole goal seems to be to try to keep some people as paranoid as possible and the rest of us all tore up and upset with each other. They spread hate. They leave the impression that by their very words that violence is acceptable. Well, then on April 26, 1995, the Washington Post took those words and declared that the comments in Iowa that were made on the 25th, we must stand up and speak against reckless speech that can push fragile people over the edge beyond the bounds of civilized conduct and take this country into a dark place. I say that no matter where it comes from, people are encouraging violence and lawlessness and hatred. If people are encouraging conduct that will undermine the fabric of the country, it should be spoken against, whether it comes from the left or the right, whether it comes on radio, television, or in the movies, whether it comes in the schoolyard, or yes, even on the college campus. The Washington Post declared that those comments were, quote, were aimed at blunting criticism from Republicans and others that he had unfairly blamed conservative talk radio. What is the lifeblood of conservative talk radio? It is fear. It is hate. It is a projection of all the ills of this country onto those least able to defend themselves against it, minorities, poor people. You get the idea. And yet, out of that, Flush Flimball, the junkie, declares that he personally was blamed every time something bad happened in America. All right. Now, you heard him describe as fact that Cho Sung-hui was a liberal, and that's why he shot up Virginia Tech, right? You heard that. I played it for you. I swear, I promise you, I didn't monkey with the audio. He said it was fact. Well, you and I both know that that's a bunch of hooey. He didn't cite a single fact in there. It was nothing but the rankest, most disgusting speculation. You want to talk some facts? Okie dokie. Let's do some facts. From ABC 7 News and the DenverChannel.com. Headline. Radio personality pleads guilty to internet luring. L-U-R-I-N-G, not leering, luring. This has to do with a guilty pleas entered today by one Scott Eller Cortelyou, C-O-R-T-E-L-Y-O-U, 53 years old, of Conifer, Jefferson County, Colorado. He pled guilty of felony charges of trying to lure a young girl over the internet, a little girl. He was arrested at the radio station where he worked. Cortelyou was the co-host of Breakfast for Business, or Business for Breakfast, or The Breakfast Business, or Giving You the Business, or some, you know, and of course, Wall Street cannot stand for long these liberal assaults on the right of capitalists, blah, 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 blah. What it is in August 2006, Cortelyou engaged in sexually graphic online conversations in an internet chat room with someone he believed to be a 12-year-old girl. I told you, get the kids out of the room. Freckles, you can turn the radio on after the top of the hour, all right? Now, according to his bio, Mr. Cortelyou has won various news awards from the Colorado Broadcasters Association, the Associated Press, and the Radio Television News Directors Association. And under the deal, Cortelyou will serve no jail time and will have the Latimer County charge dropped as part of the plea deal. His attorney, Craig Silverman, is also a Denver talk radio host. Now, what was he guilty of? I have before me the affidavit for the arrest warrant. Cortelyou, you fondle it till it gets hard, then stroke it back and forth. Little girl, wow, that sounds cool. It's even better if you can get someone else to do it for you. How do with hand? Yes, but, and it's blacked out, are better. Yes, better. Dunno, just feel better. Cool. Ever seen a hard-on? In pictures. Ever touched one? And then he gives this this person he thinks is a 12-year-old girl but is actually a cop named Detective Jacqueline Shackley instructions on how to masturbate. Him, ever slide your finger in? Her, no, that would hurt, wouldn't it? Him, not all the way, just a little. And not the hole you pee through, the bigger one. The one I poo through? Ew! No, no, between the two. Oh, cool! Wiggle a finger in there. Get it wet. Okay? Now, these are all court documents. He told Detective Jacqueline Shackley, whom he thought was a 12-year-old girl, that he's glad she wasn't nearby where he is because he would be tempted. All right? Now, I read numerous stories about Mr. Cortelyou. All right? There was a critical piece of information missing in each and every report. I have filled in the blanks on that. I'm sorry. That was disgusting. It was disgusting to me. I don't do that because I like to do disgusting things on the air. These are the facts that would have been adduced at trial. This man is going to get zero jail time for this. He'll have to register as a sex offender. That's all. Okay? Cruising, trolling for little girls on the internet. This guy. Well, so what, Bob? Well, so I picked up the phone today because, you know, I'm talented that way. And I found and called the Jefferson County, Colorado Office of Elections. And I asked simply, are voter registrations public record in Colorado? Yes, they are. And then she established the rules. I can't give you information. I can only answer yes or no. I said, okay, I can play that game. I said, do you have a registration for Scott Eller Cortellu of Conifer, Colorado? She said, yes, I do. I said, he is a registered voter, correct? Yes, he is. I said, in Colorado, do you have to register by party, or is it wide open? I can only... And to that one, she said, register by party, yes. And then I just said, look, is this guy registered? As she said, let me remind you, I can only answer yes or no questions. I said, okay, my bad. I said, is this guy registered as a Republican? And she said, yes. Time and time again, I have done this. I did it with Dennis Rader, the BTK killer in Kansas. Is this guy a registered Republican? Absolutely. In Tennessee, where you don't have to declare your registration at the time you register, but I checked up. I can't remember the guy's name now, but he was a much-loved afternoon drive Christian talk host. And he got busted with a hard drive chock-a-block with images of little children having sex done to them. Okay? That lady, I said, okay, so he doesn't have to register Republican or Democrat. Do you show which primaries he voted in? Yes. Did he vote in the Republican primary? Yes. Now, you see, the professional journalist would say, well, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with anything. He could be a Republican or a Democrat. He's a sex fiend. He's a sex criminal. It's got everything to do with it. This is what these people are. It is how they are. They are predators. In their economic policies, they prey on the weak, the wounded, and the weary. And in their sexual practices, these Republicans prey upon those who are least able to defend themselves. This doesn't happen by accident. So Rush Limbaugh says, I'm telling you facts, my friend. Cho was a liberal. It's only by being a liberal that you can learn to hate rich people. No, Rush, you big old junkie. You learn to hate people who have already learned to hate you and have manifested it. And bullied you and picked on you and screamed things like, go back to China, when someone makes you read aloud in English class in high school. Those are facts, Rush. You wouldn't know from facts. And the fact is, this upstanding, pro-business talking head behind a microphone in Colorado was a registered Republican. Just like Susan Smith's daddy was a registered Republican at the time he was raping his own daughter, leading her eventually to drown her little kids in a lake in South Carolina. This doesn't happen by accident. These things don't happen in a void. The Republican Party is where people go who like to do that kind of thing. There's a list as long as my arm of upstanding Republican activists, politicians, and preachers who have done the same and worse things than Scott Eller Cortelyou did. But Rush Limbaugh gets away with saying, "My friends, it's a fact. Cho was a liberal. That's why he shot up Virginia Tech. The fact is, Rush, you are the front man for a party of pedophiles and rapists." This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid. At the door, we don't wait, 'cause we know them. At the bar, six shots just beginning. That's when Dick hit.
Quality News Network. On Capitol Hill, a fellow U.S. Ranger testified he was ordered to keep quiet about the circumstances of the death of Army Ranger Pat Tillman, who was killed by friendly fire in Afghanistan. Army Specialist Brian O'Neill told the House Committee the battalion commander told him to conceal the truth from Tillman's brother. Kevin Tillman had just testified about his brother's death, telling the committee the Army was guilty of creating deliberate and careful misrepresentations in their story of events on the day he died. Former Army Private Jessica Lynch also testified about falsehoods circulated about the Iraq ambush that led to her capture and rescue in 2003. Congress and President Bush continue to showdown over funding for the Iraq war. The latest bill from the Democrats is worth $100 billion and includes the one stipulation that President Bush has insisted will bring down a veto, that is, a timetable for troop withdrawal. The president said he was disappointed that the Democratic leadership has chosen this course. The statement set off a new sparring match as Vice President Dick Cheney blasted Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid for his comments that the war is lost. Cheney said Reid was pursuing a defeatist strategy in Iraq to win votes in the next election. Reid shot back, calling Cheney the president's attack dog, lashing out. The top Iranian envoy and the European Union's foreign policy chief will meet tomorrow for talks in Turkey. Instead of requiring Iran to completely dismantle its uranium enrichment program, officials say the U.S. and other world powers may be willing to leave some of it intact. In Moscow, hundreds of mourners filed past the casket of former Russian President Boris Yeltsin to pay their respects. Yeltsin died of heart failure yesterday at the age of 76. His funeral is set for tomorrow. Inmates at an Indiana prison rioted today, setting fire to mattresses in the courtyard and injuring two corrections officers. Officials controlled the situation in about 2 hours. They say more than 1,200 prisoners recently transferred in from an Arizona prison. They were protesting the transfer. Economist and banker Paul Erdman died Monday at his Northern California ranch. He was 74 years old. He had been the CEO of a Swiss bank. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. CollaborativeDivorce.tv.
Duke University researchers found that overweight workers cost their employers up to twice as much in injury claims as their leaner co-workers. The study revealed that the heaviest employees had double the number of claims as compared to their fit colleagues. The FCC has concluded that it is in the public interest to regulate violence on television, especially during the times children may be watching. That's 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. The Washington Post reports the FCC will urge Congress to pass legislation giving the government power to regulate violent programming on both broadcast and cable television. Two former Apple executives involved in a stock options backdating scandal were charged today by the Securities and Exchange Commission. A settlement with one, the former chief financial officer, means he'll pay back around $3.5 million. For the first time ever, Toyota has sold more vehicles around the world than General Motors. And in March, sales of existing homes in the U.S. fell by 8.4%. That's the largest percentage drop since January 1989. Light sweet crude is trading at $64.69. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 35, the NASDAQ was up 1, and the S&P 500 was down 1 at 1480. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Coming up on 6 minutes after the hour. And when I do stories like the one you just heard, you know, I have real moral issues about sharing with you the nature of the offense, because it is so slimy, so seedy, and so disgusting. But somewhere along the way, the people of the United States have a right to know. And that's why I put a disclaimer in front of it about getting the kids out of the room. And also, when I do things like that, I know that I'm conjuring the Horn resident psychologist, Rick Goodner.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
How are you, Rick?
Oh, I was pretty good until I heard that.
Pretty gross.
Amazing. It's amazing. I should have just gave you a call and said, hey, read that one little two-page chapter of my book. It would have just been straightforward. What is wrong with these people?
But am I wrong, Rick? I mean, is it just because I'm selectively wanting to find dirty-minded Republicans that's why I find dirty-minded Republicans?
I find that the people I've had to in the past, due to court orders, had to work with that were pedophiles, tend to be more to the authoritarian side. They tend towards the conservative branch of political thought. It doesn't mean they're all that way, but the majority that I've dealt with have had that mindset, if they've had any political mindset at all. It seems to be this power and control issue. And let's face it, when you're talking about a 53-year-old man, 52-year-old man, and a 12-year-old baby, that's power and control. That's a person who's wanting to pull somebody in and have complete control of the situation. Someone who is completely at odds with his own sexuality or her own sexuality, who fears sex with an adult person to make their own decisions, who can say no, who can say yes, who can say let's do it this way. But someone who really wants to control the issue from start to end.
And, well, let me ask you another question then, Rick. Is this kind of conduct on an internet in a chat room deleterious? It's apparently in Colorado, it's a crime called internet luring.
Yeah, it's a crime in most states. I'm sitting here trying to think if I can think of one that it isn't. Because what you're having here is the people who used to hang out at the city park, and the police would go out and run them out every night, every day. They can't do that anymore. So instead of just leaving their home, they believe that they can get on the internet, they can lure these kids in, and you would be amazed how many children are being sexually abused by adults like this. if you could use that word with this type of person. It is against the law.
My brain tells me it should be illegal.
Well, I think it is in most states. I can't think of a single state that it's not. Maybe Oklahoma, because in Oklahoma, excuse me, unless things have changed lately, forgive me for that. Put my hand over the phone.
That's okay.
A child of 12 can consent to anything they want to a female. A boy of 16 can do the same. Which kind of plays into to the role of pedophiles.
Yeah.
In most cases, if it is a male going after a female, he wants someone between the age of 8 and 10. With 12 being the upper limit. Guess why? There's no kids listening, right?
I hope not. Puberty?
Puberty. The hair starts coming in. They start growing. They start developing. They start developing breasts. Other outward signs of being a woman. Outward signs of being an independent person.
Right.
And if you have someone who is afraid of the power of a woman, like they are of Hillary,
yeah.
Then they would have to go for a child. Now,
wow, you just opened up a whole brand new Pandora's box, Rick.
Oh, Pandora has wonderful box. God, let's get out of that subject.
Yeah, get away from that.
Yeah.
No, I don't pretend to understand it, and I don't know if anybody, even somebody in a professional context such as yours, can understand what makes these people do this stuff. I don't know if it's a matter of the brain not firing right or dropped on their head or any number of things. But from Dennis Rader, the BTK killer, to pervies all over the nation, it seems like every time you look, boom, there's that Republican registration.
It's amazing how that happens. This is not a mental disorder. I'm sorry, it's not a mental illness. You cannot have sex with a pubescent child, male or female, and then jump up and say, oh, I got a mental disorder, pedophilia, and get out of the legal trouble because of that. It doesn't happen. It's not a mental disorder. It is a disorder of behavior.
An inability to confirm one's conduct to the mores and requirements of society.
Which would be sociopath. It's just another branch of that tree. They want what they want, and they're going to get it. Children seems to be, and I've heard of it as young as, God, it's horrible, as young as 1 month.
Oh, I will remember the church in Louisiana that got busted. Literally, the pastor was having sex with cats, dogs, and 3-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Amazing, isn't it?
And you know, he was a good conservative.
Now
a few years ago, Rick, that goober in San Francisco, Michael the Savage Wiener, released a book called "Liberalism is a Mental Disorder."
Yeah, right after I did mine.
Yeah, well,
yeah. Yeah, I think
thief, plagiarist.
Play off of mine.
But you know, wanting peace in the world, wanting to feed hungry people, wanting to end wars, wanting to not drop bombs on people who aren't dropping bombs on you. There's no pathology in that, is there?
No, there isn't. Wanting to not pick the person who's not going to get a medical treatment, wanting to not pick the child who's going to starve to death because his parents are lazy and useless in somebody's eyes. No, that's liberal thought. Actually, it's very Christian thought, too.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. If you get away from the Christians we have here in America.
Yeah, who aren't Christians.
Yeah. But, you know, getting back to the criteria, I mean, look at the guy. For a pedophile, for boys, they used to go between 14 and 16. Now, remember I said Oklahoma has the legal age of consent for boys at 16?
Right.
And for girls at 12. Who wrote those laws? That's what we need to find out.
Authoritarian conservatives. I mean, that's what lives in Oklahoma, right?
It does now, for sure. And, you know, like I said, that may have changed, but at one time that was the way that it was set up. Of course, they had cockfighting at one time, too, now that's illegal. So.
But they had to raise hell to get even get rid of something like that.
Take conservatives. Take their desire, their drive to be in control of each issue and in control of everything around them, and think what kind of person would have to do that. And then think of this. Remember, there's still no kids listening. The average size for a male penis in the world is 4.5 inches. Correct. Most pedophiles go well below that. Not all, but most pedophiles.
My brain feels like it's burning, Rick.
Hey, try to live with all this research and see how it feels.
I don't want to be you. I don't want to be you. I don't know how you go from Monday to Tuesday, frankly.
Oh, actually, I kind of love the stuff, and you know, I'd love sometimes to jump across and grab some of these people, and choke some sense into them. But you know, I believe it's,
you Texan.
Direct therapy, slap them and say, "Get over it."
but now we know from the report on this character that he is gonna walk.
He's gonna walk.
He's not gonna be, you know, he's not gonna be Bubba's little girlfriend in prison.
Right. Which it would be the proper thing to do. You know, let him learn what it's like.
Well, there's the punishment versus rehab aspect to the penal system. And some people for the evil crap they do, we just want to punish them.
Mm-hmm.
This is that category as far as I'm concerned. But he's going to walk, that means probation. He's probably going to have terms and conditions of probation. He's going to have some counseling
and
therapy. What's that going to do for him, Rick?
Well, more than likely, what they're going to set up is, and I don't know, they may have said, well, he's sick, he has a deviant sexual addiction, which is garbage. That's made up by AA, that's made up by the 12-steppers. It has nothing to do with reality. And even in psychology, we're looking at a pedophile that can be identified from their behavior, but we don't classify it as a mental disorder. You cannot, from my personal experience, you cannot treat a pedophile. They can fake it. They can pretend. They can
chew on a leather strap for a while in an earnest effort not to.
And they can have sex with a grown woman or a grown boy, whichever, and fantasize about a little girl. But a pedophile is a pedophile. There's only two cures. Number one, they won't let us do surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, no one's going to let us do it because it's going to cost. And that would be basically putting up communities. Take one of the square states, Nebraska. I hope nobody hear from Nebraska.
I thought that was a rectangle.
Put a nice little bitty fence around it and throw them all in there. Set their little fannies in there. Let them abuse each other. Let them do anything. Give them
and don't let them out.
Give them movies. Give them everything they need to live a normal life where they cannot hurt normal people. Our children look up at us and they say, "Dad, are there real monsters in the world?" And we lie to them. We say, "No, there's no monsters in the world. It's all made up." We're lying. There are monsters in the world, and they're all human. And when we start protecting our children is when we realize that there are some creatures in this world that do not deserve freedom for the rest of their life.
Rick, let me ask you another question. Now, this guy's 53 years old. He's probably been... This has probably been something that's in his world for many, many years. But we've got this blanket term sex offender, and we've got a registry, and we found out a couple of weeks ago that the state of Florida considers a permanent residence a spot under a bridge because of the places that sex offenders aren't allowed to live anymore. Understanding what you just said, is there a difference, in West Virginia, the uniform age of consent is 16. Sorry, but it is.
Okay.
And it's third-degree sexual...
Let me throw this in. Don't lose your thought.
Okay.
The human brain doesn't mature completely until the age of 27. Go ahead.
Okay. with that, well, so what I was getting at, third-degree sexual assault is sex between a person who is 16 in this state, someone who's more than 16 years old and more than 4 years older than a person who's less than 16 years old.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Well, it goes along with the DSM.
Okay. So the old-fashioned term for that was statutory rape.
Right.
Is that person a sex offender, or is that person a teenage experimenter?
If that person is having sex with somebody who is 4, and I think some states have it at 3, and I believe the DSM has it at 5 years difference in age, then that person is a sex offender.
Does a teenager grow, who does something, do they grow out of it?
Do they grow out of it? Here's what I really believe happens. This is just Rick's theory, which means you can throw it right out the window. But this is what I believe happened. I believe these are people who are completely disenfranchised with reality as far as how to deal with society. They start out in grade school looking at the little girl across the desk from them and having little fantasies. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They keep those fantasies going. They do not engage early into normal, what one would consider normal sexual behavior. Well, what we would, at least. And so there are very late bloomers on actually having sex unless they're being sexually abused themselves, okay? So these people pin this stuff up. And people will tend to go to their object of attraction. And if a person's first object of attraction is a child, and they never grow past that, they never will grow past it. They will always have that child in their mind when they have to be with an adult. They'll have that child in their mind when they're fantasizing and masturbating, and then when they go out to actually have sex, it's going to be with somebody younger. And more than likely, their first experience, and I don't have any giant research on it, it's just anecdotal from what I've heard, quartered people that I've had to treat. When they actually have sex with somebody, it's usually an underage child in the family.
Oh,
they
God.
Have it for the first time.
All right,
let's start in late teens, early 20s.
Let's sort of circle back on our original premise.
Okay.
You find these people in the Boy Scouts. You find them in charitable organizations like the Salvation Army.
Mm-hmm.
You find them you can't swing a dead cat in a fundamentalist church without hitting one of these people.
Well, that's understandable because...
My next question, Rick. Are these people there because it provides a hideout for them, or are they there because there's something wrong with the organization itself?
Not so much the organization. It has to do with, if you have a good cover that gives you access to children, and children is what you're attracted to, then, if you don't have the money to put up your own theme park, then you go to an organization where there's going to be children in, vulnerable children.
Or you set yourself up as a clown to go to birthday parties.
Absolutely.
Or like John Wayne Gacy?
Mm-hmm. Just put yourself in the homeless shelter. And then make sure that the rules say that the families are split up. There's all kinds of different ways. But in a case of a church, some of these people may not really like what they do. And they may go into the church with the expectation that God's going to cure them. Part of the 12 steps.
Mm-hmm.
And they get in there and it all comes back out anyway. They still act on what they're doing. I'm not giving away anything that having to do with one of my clients, except that one of my clients once told me her father, first time he raped her, and they went to church the next day, said, look around, all these girls are getting the same thing from their father.
And he may have been right.
He may have. It's amazing how conservative some of those churches are and how many people are being abused in those churches, their children.
And that, I guess, is the ultimate question. Does conservatism and authoritarianism facilitate this behavior?
I would love to say yes, but what I really have to say is people who do this behavior will tend to gravitate towards that kind of belief system more so than they would a liberal belief system.
Because a liberal belief system has no room for such things in it.
Well, not only that, the liberal belief system is so liberal that they believe that sex is a good thing and you should have it with people who consent, and that it's really okay and you don't have to hide, and that if you do have a feeling that's causing you trouble, you go in and you get it taken care of. You don't try to hide it and pretend it doesn't exist and then do. Plus, if you're going to abuse your own children, you want to be in a location where they're going to say, guess who has all the power in your family? And you're not going to get that from the liberal groups. They're going to say, let's all talk about it, let's all get together, let's decide, let's be open. Instead, a conservative, it's more closed.
Paternalistic.
Yeah.
Rule-oriented, rule-based, authoritarian.
And as we all know, this isn't just men.
No,
it's no. Women also.
But it seems to me that until, we're gonna keep seeing these stories as long as the conservative movement refuses to deal with the inherent problems that both facilitate it and welcome it and hide it.
I think in hiding it and welcoming it is probably the key two words, because if you want your group to grow, you're going to have the fanatic.
And isn't that what the Republican Party has been turned into?
It's what
fanatics, true believers, authoritarians. We can go to war. We can not go to war. Whatever George Bush says is fine.
He makes the decisions.
The NRA. I've got an essay here in front of me that, for some reason or another, CNN gave a forum to Ted Nugent to spew his bile. And again, it's that same mindset. Because, you know, these people have seen their rights degraded through the Patriot Act, and never a peep.
Right.
As long as their authority figure is doing it to them, it's okay.
Right. That clicks a couple of things. Number one. NRA, I don't care what they say, they're nothing but the trade union of the arms manufacturers. They are out there pushing for any gun to any person because the benefactors, the people they receive their money from, are the people who make the guns. Don't let anybody fool you on that. They're not out there because they love America. They're selling the product, guns. If they were selling cigarettes, they would be out there doing that. They're selling guns for the people that they receive the money from, their support, the financial support. Amazing. George Bush made a wonderful comment the other day. How in the world, and I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember exact words, we cannot have the civilians telling the military what to do. Excuse me? This is America, where we have civilian control of the military.
Yeah. You're pretty close on what he said, too.
He's completely delusional. I discount him on everything.
So if Dennis Kucinich gets his way and we impeach Dick Cheney and Karl Rove goes away, is W just kind of sitting there whistling, and Uncle Dick, Karl, what do I do now? Help.
Yeah, he won't change any of his behaviors.
Why did I think he would?
That's what he's doing now.
That makes me delusional.
No, you're fine. You can sit there and say, maybe I'm delusional. Not them. They're absolutely sure that they're 100% correct. And when you have someone who's absolutely 100% sure that they're correct and everybody else is wrong, you got a delusional person. And one thing I love in life is being proved wrong. I really do. Most people don't believe me when I say that. But when somebody proves me wrong, I have learned something. It does not hurt my feelings. It does not make me sad. If they could do the same thing, my God, wow, there's three different groups in Iraq. We should look into that. I was wrong. I thought it was just one country.
Yeah.
You know? If somebody, if they would just accept the fact that, yes, they can be wrong and then learn from it. But I don't think I have ever met a single conservative Republican who could accept the fact, well, accept facts, period, but accept the fact that they can be wrong. And they will fight till death to prove that they're right, no matter how wrong they are.
And never admit it.
Never admit it. Which gets us completely away from the pedophile issue, but...
Well, no, it really doesn't, because they can't admit it either.
Can't admit it. You're not going to find many of them.
Rick, I thank you so much.
Anytime, sir.
I appreciate it a whole bunch.
Always around.
You take care.
You too.
Bye now. Horn resident psychologist Rick Goodner. You can get his books over at Amazon.com. Just look up Rick Goodner, G-O-O-D-N-E-R. We'll take a break. Maybe see what's going on in the world of labor news. And when we come back, more of your phone calls. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. And I'm Bob.
The dawn is breaking, a light shining through. You're barely waking, and I'm tangled up in you. Yeah. But I'm open, you're closed. I follow you.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Striking teachers in Hayward, California have taken their fight to the internet, Jesse Russell reports.
And what is becoming an increasingly common trend with organized labor? Teachers with the Hayward Education Association, who have been on strike for 8 days, have taken their fight to the internet. The group has been posting videos on the video file sharing website YouTube and emailing them out to friends and supporters. One video called The Truth has been viewed nearly 4,600 times. Another video allows a teacher to speak her mind without the filter of the media.
Hayward school teachers are looking for a fair contract. We need one immediately so we can get back in the schoolroom and give our students of Hayward quality education. Not only do we need a fair contract, we also need respect. And Dr. Fahil is not showing us respect. When he disrespects the profession of teaching, he's disrespecting the community and devaluing the students. Dr. Vahil and the Board of Education, please get back to the table and resolve this immediately.
The teachers are seeking a 16% raise over 2 years in current contract negotiations.
The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, and Northwest Airlines are in intense, federally mediated negotiations that started on Friday. It's the latest effort to reach an agreement on huge concessions demanded by Northwest as the airline used bankruptcy proceedings to try to destroy union contracts. Washington State's legislature has sent a paid family medical leave bill to the governor's desk there. If the governor signs it into law, Washington would become the second state to provide paid family medical leave. California was the first. The Washington bill provides 6 weeks of paid leave up to $250 per week starting in October of 2009. It must be taken concurrently with leave time provided by the Federal Family Medical Leave Act. According to Harvard and McGill University researchers, the United States is one of just four countries that doesn't provide paid medical leave as a national policy. An elected reform slate that includes at least one member of the Longshore Workers Coalition is taking over the International Longshoremen's Association Local 1588 in New Jersey on May 1st. The local is under federal government supervision to keep the mob from reasserting its influence in the local. The supervision will last for at least another 18 months. A federal trusteeship was imposed on ILA Local 1588 4 years ago to end mafia domination. Jesse Russell has today's economic report.
Little has changed concerning the crisis looming for Social Security and Medicare according to the most recent fiscal outlook. Without any changes, Medicare is expected to dry up by 2019 and Social Security by 2041. Those numbers are from a report drafted by the Treasury Department. While Social Security is currently running a surplus, rising health care costs have put so much pressure on Medicare, the program is shedding money from its trust fund.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Sometimes it takes balls to be a woman. Standing up to a test.
All right, we got about 20 minutes or so of good conversation left in this evening's program. And so as a consequence of that, let's go straight to the phones. Our good friend Luke is calling in from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome to the program.
Evening, Bob.
How are you?
Oh, about to bust. I tell you what, this weekend just been so busy. All the good stuff coming out. so many good things I sent you and such. I think my favorite one this weekend was the Frank Rich column.
Well, Frank Rich doesn't write bad stuff.
Well, the thing, and I don't know if he exactly said it this way, but the thing I got out of it, and I've seen it listed from other places, was, isn't it amazing how after, was it 3,300 or 3,120, I think it's now 33 deaths, George Bush won't go near a cemetery, but by golly, after 32 kids are killed in Blacksburg, he almost ran down to West Virginia, I mean to Virginia.
Yep. That was part of what made it so repulsive.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing gets me is, it's like, you know, we know you can't go to everyone. But don't tell me you couldn't go to Arlington once or twice in a year. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I'm sure there's somebody pretty much always being buried at Arlington, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you could go out there, you know, maybe, you know, once or twice in a 6 month period. But like I say, Frank Rich nailed that one. The one I'm enjoying right now is I see Billows back on the Thorazine Express.
Yeah, he's decided.
He went after Media Matters last night. Tonight he went after Moyers.
Yeah, because Moyers has this thing coming out that's going to be a complete indictment of the press leading up to in the run up to the war.
Well, the thing that got me so funny was I was reading over at NewsHound yesterday. I was reading one of.
Yes, they watch Fox, so you don't have to.
Yeah,
I love NewsHounds.
So I was over there reading it and hearing this diatribe he went on about George Soros. And I'm sitting there reading it, and I got all of a sudden thinking, you know what? If you take out George Soros' name, and you take out the individual names and replace it with other names, it was a perfect description of Rupert Murdoch and News Corp.
And again, that falls into the little theme that we've had running this evening, Luke, and that is that they take what they recognize in themselves and project it onto others.
Well, I mean, the funny thing is, like I say, and I'll say this about NewsHounds, and I'll say it about Media Matters, and I'll say it about Crooks and Liars. They don't just pick something out of the air and make it up like they do, like Fox News does and all that. They have the tapes. I mean, they'll sit there and they've got the little video and audio pieces. Press the button and you can hear Bill O say these words in his own words. You know what I mean? It's not, well, people, you know, some people say, it's like, no, we let you hear Bill O say it. We let you hear Sean Hannity say it. You know, it's not
dummied up and clipped together, and they don't monkey with the audio. They just take it as these people say it, and what drives them crazy is that there is finally an organization out there that is calling them on it, Luke.
Well, you saw that. I mean, that's what this whole thing is this week, apparently, from Fox News. You know, oh, we're going to go wrong, it's all these liberal sites. It's like, you know, it's one of those things. Oh, I sent you the thing from about Rocky Anderson and Sean.
Yeah.
It's like, say, I sent...
Sean Hannity really doesn't want to deal with Rocky Anderson.
Well, I sent that also to C-SPAN, to their events calendar, and I said, please cover this, please. You know what I mean?
I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, I figure something will happen, but he has to get out and shoot the jet.
Yeah, but you see, Luke, Sean Hannity cannot debate or discuss fairly. The only way Sean Hannity
can't control the mic.
Right, he's got to be behind the microphone. He's got to have a dump button. He's got to have a mute button, and he's got to have the playing field so unlevel that it's almost straight up for the other guy.
Oh, I tell you what. Let me go through here. I've got a whole list of stuff, but I know I won't get through all of it. Oh yeah. What was it? One thing we got to watch is. You know, we're getting so concerned now about the 2008 presidential election. I'm not as worried about the presidential election. We got to keep up on the state, Senate, House, and all those elections.
Yeah, I'd like to. Well, among other things, I'd like to see Joe Lieberman's impact in the Senate neutralized.
That would be my favorite thing is when we get 60 Democrats and we can look at Joe and go, "Bye, Joe."
Yeah,
you want to vote with the Republicans? Good, go.
Caucus with them, buddy.
Here, we'll help you move. Come on, we'll get down there. We'll bring the thing. We'll help you move. Oh, one thing we haven't been watching. I tell you what, I saw this the other day, and I think I sent it to you. Was isn't it amazing how they're talking about all this good stuff in Baghdad? Have you noticed this story going on with the Turks and the PKK? That apparently northern Iraq's about to blow up.
And yeah, it has to be a powder keg because the Turks don't like the Kurds don't like the Turks, and the Turks see their sovereign territory as being a likely part of a partition for an independent Kurdistan.
Well, and the Turks are now saying that if they don't stop the PKK, they're coming across the border into Iraq to attack the PKK. You know, it's just amazing on some of this stuff. I tell you what. Did you see the thing I sent you, the thing from INN, the thing with Mikey Weinstein and Joe Wilson?
Yeah.
That was good. You know,
Well, Mikey Weinstein is leading a heroic crusade.
I mean, that's something I've seen bits and pieces on, but like I say, that's something somebody needs to be waving the flag. Well, it's like today. I tell you what, it's probably going to disappear, but like I say, this hearing today was the thing with Jessica Lynch and Pat Tillman. The thing that got you really blows your mind was the Ranger, the one who said, "Oh, by the way, they ordered me to burn his uniform, you know, and to cover it up."
Yeah.
And amazingly enough, no one has ever been disciplined for that. No one up and down the line. And it's sort of like everybody, from the way they're talking, everybody knew, but apparently no one gave any orders.
I don't know if Jessica Lynch realized it today, Luke, but this was the most heroic day that she has ever spent in her life.
Well, I mean, I remember when she came back, and I mean, she was, you know, they had some interviews, and she said these things, but the news media was like, no, we want to talk about the heroic story. You know, it's like, you know, we don't bother with the truth. Here's the PR we've been running, so let's keep running.
And see, they're going to swift boat her now, and that's really going to be sickening.
But like I say, I tell you what, it's getting to the point, especially like the stuff with Tillman, I think it's getting to the point where they're just going to, you know, if they try pushing back on some of this, I think some of the military families are going to essentially start going, you know, forget this, it's over, you know.
Well, you know, over at Bart Cop, he constantly wonders what it will take. You know, he says military families are more than
that one straw.
Yeah, military families are more than happy to sacrifice lives for George Bush, but they hated Bill Clinton.
And there you're sitting with George Bush, deserter number one.
Sure. And five deferments, Dick Cheney, who had other priorities. Sure.
I tell you what, it's just amazing. I tell you what we saw the thing last week, apparently. Now, isn't it fun when you've got an attorney general who either is too stupid or too crooked or both? It's like they say his nickname is Fredo. I'd rather have Fredo. At least Fredo made some sense.
Yeah, Fredo just lacked... Well,
ambition.
Lack loyalty too. And I think there's a little bit of a reflection in the fact that they think of him as Fredo, because they're afraid that he, you know, if his law license or his ability to make beaucoup de bucks gets on the line, he will turn.
Well, as I say, I think the two people they're most scared of in that whole administration are him and Harriet Myers, because they were from the beginning, so they know everything.
And they were on the inside of the so-called attorney-client privilege. But the fun part about attorney-client privilege, of course, is there is no privilege attaching to criminal conduct.
No. Oh, one other thing. We didn't get to talk about this last week. The speech that Bush gave, was it Ohio or Iowa?
Ohio, I think.
Was it either too much medication, not enough medication? Did somebody drop the cue card? I mean, dear Lord, I mean, as bad as it sounds, that was like 10 times worse even for him.
He has to be almost constantly medicated now, Luke. And I think they try to gauge the dose based on the length of the flight. And I don't think he was down from his little Xanax buzz.
Well, you know, we always thought that was a microphone pack back there behind him. I'm wondering if it's one of those auto-injector systems. You know, where he's out there and somebody goes, give me a little bit more Thorazine.
Beep, beep, beep. Yeah. I know.
Well, as I say, thank you for warning me. I went ahead after the story you told earlier, went out and took my wire brush.
Yeah.
I still don't feel clean, but still.
Yeah, but of course, you know, that wasn't gratuitous, though,
well,
Luke.
I understand.
That's the difference between Rush Limbaugh sitting there making crap up and dealing with facts.
Well, that's 350 pounds of walking crap, talking about crap. You know how it is. But
it takes one to know one, sure.
Yeah, but you know, it's amazing. Well, we know he was a liberal. It's like, well, you know, see, now what is he? What was he, 20? 19? So he hadn't voted, so no one knows what he was. You know, I mean, you were talking about the guy out in Denver. At least, you know, at least he had voted. He had to register.
Yeah.
Joe probably had,
again, know, proof.
Yeah.
You know, Dennis Rader, the BTK killer, sitting there, an elder in his church and working with the Boy Scouts and, you know, bumping off a couple of people a year.
Well, I think maybe you mentioned this last week. Is well, here we have our favorite minister out there.
Fred Phelps?
No. Well, not well, that's true. Our one who's been through the cure.
Oh, Ted Haggard.
Yeah. And amazingly enough, it went through kind of quietly that, oh, by the way, part of the agreement was Ted had to leave. It's like, well, wait a minute, he's cured. Now, if he's cured, why are you making Ted leave? You should welcome him back into the bosom of the church.
Sorry.
It's like, if this was a real cure and it really took, there's no reason for Ted to leave, is there?
Yeah, but they don't. I think, you know, it reminds me of what Bart Ehrman said on the program a few weeks back. These people know. They're just not telling the rubes in the pews.
It's sort of like every time you sit there going, it's like, it's Elmer Gantry. They just don't look as good and sound as good. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Luke, I appreciate it, man.
You have a good evening.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye now. And to Steady. Hey, Steady, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how are you?
Back in sunny California, are you?
And we actually have some sun today. It's actually warming up just a little bit. I'm still standing by for some itinerary, possibly to take employment back on the East Coast. But I heard some Luke say, I had a couple of notes from Rick's last name, the guy who was on before Luke. What was his last name?
Rick Goodner.
Goodner, and his books at Amazon. He said something in regards that we could acknowledge that we were wrong, you know, but we the people take kind of some responsibility that we believe those representatives when they were wrong, and we kind of believed them, so we were wrong too in a majority. But coming up to something here where Pat Tillman and this Pat Tillman thing and the cover-up of the story and all the stuff surrounding Jessica Lynch, the testimony, would you characterize that courageous, one of the most courageous moments in her career?
That was her moment of heroism.
I agree. I'd agree with that. I'd like people to look at that as it unfolds and consider an event in June of 1967 when the same type of, this is what we're going to say, we'll ask the questions, you'll be allowed to answer them, in regards to the USS Liberty.
Yeah.
And people might remember the Cole incident where a naval vessel was attacked. That's the same thing that these people got subjected to, and in the official Senate journals were lies in regards to where the person received their meritorious conduct for Congressional Medal of Honor, nonetheless. Straight-out lies in the Senate journals. So for enlisted people to be swayed to go one way or another on this type of thing is trivial. We're in trouble as a nation. I think what you've put together here, Bob, and the events last week with the Senate Judiciary hearings, there were a lot of epiphanies going on that day.
Well, I hope they continue.
I do, too. Just wanted to check in and say hi as we're still waiting for itinerary and coming up to the California Democratic Convention this weekend in San Diego.
Wonderful. So you'll be there and raise a ruckus, Steady.
We'll be there if itinerary doesn't come in before that, but it is looking like I'm going to get to attend, so that's kind of exciting for me to wind up this whole last couple of months.
And get a little maintenance on Team Honda and
yes,
put another 6,000 miles on it.
Well, we'll be flying, but she's ready to go with a little bit of maintenance.
Good deal, good deal. Steady, good to hear from you.
Thank you, Bob. Likewise.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And Bob in North Dakota.
Hello.
Hey, Bob.
How are you, my friend?
I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, may I say this to you? May the gods be with you. Oops. I goofed up again. May you be with the gods, and may you think other than self. Because, hey, all the gods, always, if you go down through history, they're always thinking about those little bitty human things that they created and how they could make them better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? You know, the thing about these, and I have to give a shout out to Doc Rick. I mean, Rick Goodner is a good man. I read your book, Doc Rick, and I hope you heard my voice saying that. I read your book, and it was the truth. I had a doc just like Doc Rick. His name was Barry Bummer, of all names, Barry Bummer. He was a clinical psychologist, and he convinced me that, Bob, you have PTSD after all these years and all the things that I've done. He convinced me that I had to work on my PTSD. And guess what? He helped me to come back to the world of the living and the loving and the caring. He helped me, and he died in a car crash. And it was shortly after I told him about some of the ops that I had done. I mean, and you know, guess what that did, Bob? That made me feel guilty because I told him of some of those dark ops that I'd done way back when. And then I started thinking, God, was it my fault? You know?
No, of course not.
Of course not. But, hey, of course. Hey, if you're guilty of something, you always try to blame it on, you know, yourself. If you're guilty of it, you think, hey, I am the worst human being on this planet. But Doc Rick said it in the truth. If you have done something that you're ashamed of, you admit it. You admit it to the world. You admit it to every person. That I have done these things and I am ashamed of them. And I guarantee you, I am ashamed. I am. I'm proud of the men I served with, and I bagged them, I tagged them, I sent them home. But I am ashamed that I served under Republican presidents that do it. And I served under some Democrats, too. I served under Lyndon Baines Johnson. I served under Richard M. Nixon. I served under these, you know, evildoers that George Bush is so proud of talking about, right?
Yeah.
And now we got a real evildoer in the White House, and... No, I know Agnes told me to, you know, kind of, you know, hey, protect yourself, Bob. I mean, don't, you know, be safe, you know, all this other stuff. But I just came back from the Minot Air Force Base where I met young women. You know, I just went over there shopping today, and I went over there for, you know, to go to the commissary like I do occasionally.
Yeah.
Because I can. But most people, you know, and yourself included, have no idea what it's like to be around military families. Bob,
yeah,
your wife, she served, yes.
Shortly, just a little bit.
I know, and I've heard this story, and I love Agnes. I love her like a daughter, and I love you like a son, but you have never been military.
No.
Your father was in World War II, and I salute him, and I stand beside him, and I stand beside all brave Americans who do not kowtow, do not bow to the president. We stand as American fighting men and women, and we are not their servants. We are not. We are the protectors of this nation. And you, the people of America, you, the people, all of you, forget that. We are the protectors. We're kind of like the police. And you have to protect yourself sometimes from the police. Sometimes the police get out of line, and we call them rogue cops.
Yeah.
Right now we have a rogue president. We have a rogue vice president. We have a rogue Congress. We have a rogue Senate. We do not have a Senate of the people, by the people, and for the people. We have a Senate of the Senate, for the Senate, and by the Senate. We have a Congress.
Yep. Big difference
States
between the two,
House
isn't it?
Representatives of the House of Representatives, for the House of Representatives, and by the corporations of the earth. Come on, Bob.
I know.
We have to take it back.
And you know, every effort counts. Bob, I got one more. I got to get on here, so I need to roll along. But I appreciate it.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologize. I just got to roll, okay? Because okay. I hate to leave people on hold.
Well, get it on.
All right, thanks, Bob. Take it easy, brother.
Love you much. Bye bye.
Bye now. And Ed, you there, Ed?
Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Just listening in to the program and. Enjoying it. A lot of good conversations. And I didn't mean to get on here. I was just on hold. But
I thought Agnes was telling me you had something you wanted to say.
No.
Okay, we got our wires crossed.
No, that's all right. I was just listening to the debate on. I'll make a comment since you give me time. I was listening to. The conversation about Hillary Clinton taking money from these rappers that...
Is that where they're going now?
Huh?
Is that where they're going now?
Yeah. And, of course, I'm not for Hillary Clinton anyway. I hope that Edwards will finally surface, or your friend there, he was on this evening. He has got so many good ideas, but he's so far in the background.
Oh, Dennis Kucinich?
Dennis Kucinich. Yeah. I can't ever think of his last name. But I really, you know, him and Edwards is just about equal to me. But the other two, I don't have a lot of support for. No. I just hope one of the other of those
right.
will surface to be there. And that's about all I have to say. And except, you know, I enjoy you all. I always.
Well, thank you, Ed. We do appreciate it.
Okay, and we will. Be talking to you a little later.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Take care.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Bye now. Thanks, everybody, for all you do and all you bring to this program and all you do for me and for Agnes and the community that you're building here on the Horn. Agnes, of course, produced the program tonight. Brian Reznor announced. John Fox in Sydney, Australia, who's subbing in. Doing a two-hour show for the rest of this week as Joe Vecchio has been told to get back to work. He's having to do the day shift there in Chicago. So John will be in at 10 a.m. Eastern tomorrow. Also tomorrow, the triumphant return of Mark Levine at 5 p.m. Eastern. So be on board for that as well. Looks like the meter's gone up a little bit at Ben Birch's fundraiser at WhiteRoseSociety.org. It's not gone up high enough. Time to do the right thing for Ben if you haven't already. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Many thanks to the thousands of members of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights who are building the American dream and helping us save the American dream. Time to get your beauty sleep, Liza. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Gonzalez in trouble as tide turns against Team Texas. Panel OK subpoenas an attorney probe. For wary conservatives, all eyes on Bush. Deal reached on UN sanctions versus Iran. President rejects health care proposal. Giuliani will miss firefighters' events. Giuliani law firm lobbies in Texas for Chavez-controlled Citgo. The new Dean political plan. Gingrich says it's too early to campaign for 2008. Web censorship spreading globally. Chertoff warns of web of terrorism. McCain draws heat from Vet Group and Club for Growth. World may get greener, then wilt, due to warming. Israel not enthusiastic about strike on Iran, says Olmert. And Al-Qaeda number 3 says he's planned 9/11. And a hell of a lot of other things. Oh, we're going to rip into this one, folks. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.